The following cast contains rude, crude, and disgusting language. You can leave now, but I wouldn't.
No. Ladies and gentlemen. Folks.
Welcome to Heavy Meta, your source for magic news, entertainment, and comedy.
What is up, you motherfuckers? I'm Kevy Metal.
And I'm Shakao. And this is Heavy Meta.
Oh, how you motherfuckers doing? Christmas is over. Hopefully everybody got all sorts of cool shit for Christmas. I know I did. And one of those things is fucking vacation. I don't have to fucking work for like a week and a half. So I'm doing nothing but fucking play Moto. It's awesome.
Oh, it is. You know what? I look forward every year to the week when like between Christmas and New Year's. Because I make sure like everybody knows, do not call me. Do not email me. I don't care if the internet breaks. I am not fixing it. I could give a shit less. Like, that is my time to relax.
Yeah, leave me the fuck alone. Like, I am just... I've been stoked about this because I haven't had any, like, good vacation time off in fucking forever. And my girlfriend's going to New York City. Her and her brother actually are going on, like, a school trip from a college to just go, like, tour fucking New York City for, like, a week. And, I was gonna go, like, earlier this year I was looking at going, but I was like,
sneak across the border at Buffalo and be like, Matty, I'm over!
Yeah, Matty, I'm here!
Well, no, it's like, it's taking 45 minutes, let's go.
Yeah, dude, fuck it, I'm like, babe, I'll be back, I gotta make it into Canada, you figure out New York. No, I her parents or her dad's paying for her and her brother to go, and I was like, I was gonna have to pay to go, and I was looking at doing it, and I was like, man, I just can't justify spending $3,500 on a trip to New York when I could spend that on tons of other shit.
I could buy me like half a collection.
Exactly, I could buy my kid a lightsaber, and I can buy me a bunch of magic cards. And so, you know, that being said, I was like, well, I might as well take my vacation then. That way, like, you know, I can just spend time with my son, you know, just fucking hang out. So now I've got like a fucking full week to not do shit except for hang out with my kid and play magic and get drunk. And I love it.
Nice. I love it. That's exactly what I'm talking about, man. So what have you been doing? Now I know the Holiday Cube is a huge thing that I've been meaning to play, but I haven't played yet, dude.
We are going to get some of that shit in, and that's another thing that goes with me being on vacation, is I got all day to sit around and be on the internet and play fucking Magic. So we are going to get...
Alright, we're doing that then.
We're gonna do some fucking cubing, we gotta get the fucking... I decided I'm gonna start calling our fucking special fans the fucking Heavy Meta SVU Special Victims Unit.
There you go, the SVU, the HMSVUs.
Yeah, dude, because they are quite special, and they are victims. This is us we're talking about. But I want to get everybody together so we can play some fucking Commander and all that good shit we haven't been able to do much of lately, because I'm always busy, you're always busy. Now we got some time we can...
We promise, like, with this episode, we'll talk about some of our brews that we've been playing, and Kevy's got some pretty really interesting modern stories. But for next episode, we definitely will have Tales of the Cube, the Holiday Cube.
Oh, yeah.
Basically, sure. Tomorrow, after we're done cast night, tomorrow we're just going to... I want to play a couple rounds, like 10 rounds of Cube.
Yeah.
I haven't touched it. A lot of people, I've been watching the tweets, but like, oh, Powered Cube is horrible. And then some people were tweeting, like, they'd pack one, pick one. It's like four pieces of power in one pack. And they're like, wow, that's brutal, dude. Like, yeah, that's hella good. I have no idea what it plays like, so I'm very excited. So
and this will be all sorts of fun to me, because this is like every other fucking format besides Standard. I start playing and I have no idea what the fuck I'm doing whatsoever. I'm like, let's see. I know what this card does.
Speaking of, like, because I have to say, I'm not normally like that mystified by some of your tweets, because some of them are off the wall. But I have a certain threshold. Like, I have the Kevy threshold that I measure things on, and I'm pretty good at taking things. But I saw last week Kevy says I'm dipping into modern, and I gotta say, when you tweeted, I thought it was a joke. I thought you were gonna cheat. You're gonna hit me up with an email like, "Gotcha, Matt."
Trolling everybody. Yeah.
And like, then I'm like,
"Oh, like, oh, the whiskey's gone. My cat's missing, and so are the jumper cables." Like, that's normal. But when you hear me say something like, "Oh, man, I'm gonna start playing modern," like, that registers on your radar, and that cracks me up.
I'm very jonesing to hear. So what happened? And first of all, I must know, how the hell did you just decide?
I don't know.
Were you just completely at a bottle? Like, you were at the end of a Jameson's bottle and be like, you know what? I think it's time. I think it's time for modern.
It pretty much was that. Like, I mean, that's about the best explanation.
Where's my credit card? Where's my credit card? I'm going into modern.
That's what sucked, too, because I was like, okay, it just kind of came out of nowhere. I think it's because I've kind of gotten sick of standard lately. But usually when I do that, I'm like, well, I'm just going to go fucking draft. But I'm also kind of getting sick of drafting Return to Ravnica because
I got to interrupt you. I agree. I mean, everyone that listens to us, and I know we're getting a lot of positive feedback of people that are jumping into MTGO because we make it sound so awesome. And
hell yeah. We get paid by Wizards, man. We've been recruiting motherfuckers.
We should. I gotta hit up Mero for that. But, I mean, it's true. We really hyped Return to Ravnica Draft. And I gotta tell you, I mean, I've never played, no other set I've played that much. But it is getting to the point where, like, you've probably done more than 75, 80 drafts.
Probably.
And I'm close to that number, too. And I'm kind of like, yeah, I've pretty much tried every archetype there is.
Yeah, I mean, you can get burned out on anything. It's like, I got into, like, trying different stuff, because I was just playing Rakdos all the time, because I knew it, and I knew how to play it well, I knew how to draft it well, and I would always have success with it, but I was like, okay, this is really getting fucking boring. Like, I've got so many fucking Rakdos Cacklers in my fucking, like, collection.
How much do you have? Does your black and red cards, like, 30?
Yeah, dude, it's retarded. Like, there's, like, my highly picked cards, like Dagger Drone Imp, and fucking Deviant Glee, and, like, you know, shit like that. There's like fucking 30 of each of them in my fucking collection. Like, it's retarded how many I have. Yeah. And so I was like, you know, I started branching off a little bit and trying different archetypes, and some of them I liked, some of them I didn't. You know, I do okay, but it just got to the point I'm like, I'm just really bored of seeing this. Which, I mean, again, like you were saying, Return to Ravnica draft format is fun as shit. You know, it's just
so much better. Yeah, I mean, yeah, like,
but I mean, anything that you do over and over and over and over again, it starts to get fucking boring.
Of course, but just to give perspective, like this is the thing. Let's say we played 75 because that's about the right number. Return to Ravnica.
Right.
I played 4 Avacyn drafts. Okay, so that tells you right now, you know, and I maybe played about 25 Innistrad and 25 Dark Ascension, but that tells you right now how good the Return to Ravnica draft format was.
Right. And that's actually something I looked at doing because I didn't draft back before Avacyn. I just started drafting when Avacyn was out. So I've been looking at maybe, like, because I didn't get a chance to be in the form, or, you know, draft the format at all. I've been looking at, like, if I do get the itch to start drafting a little bit here and there again, I might hit up, like, the Innistrad Dark Ascension, because I think I've done one or two of those.
Well, actually, Innistrad's really fun, man.
Yeah, and I can see that being fun, because it's kind of like, although it's not that long ago, but haven't been in this for long, so it's like nostalgia for me. It's like, fuck, man, I remember those cards, and fucking, I remember when that format was fucking, you know, those cards were all, you know, in the format. Now there's still a few of them, obviously, but, so yeah, I thought about going back to doing that, but what just kind of caught me all of a sudden, I was like, man, I've been talking mad shit about modern. Fuck modern. And I was like, you know what? I was like, I'm curious. Like, I'm, you know, morbidly curious about this fucking format. So I started looking into it a little bit. And I was like, you know what? Like, the reason I hate modern so much, I think, is not that I hate modern. It's just I know nothing about it. I know nothing. And I've said it before. Like, I know nothing about what a lot of these cards do, because a lot of the cards in the modern format are shit that I wasn't around for. Like, I don't know what they do because I wasn't around when they were big and standard and when people were using them all the time. Every time I listen to a podcast and people start talking about modern, I just kind of tune out. So I'm like, hey, you know, I'm going to be playing this fucking Modern Masters tournament in Vegas, and maybe I should at least find out what some of the cards do. So I decided to, you know, check it out, started researching a little bit, and in the process, I was like, wait a second. Like, I started out playing Magic with fucking just a mono red burn deck because it You don't have to use your brain. You just tap mana, exactly. Light it on fire. And so I was like, you know what? I'll check that out. I'll see if there's any good, like, viable options for fucking burn in modern. And I found an article on, of course, manadeprived.com.
Nice.
Called Burn in Modern. And,
which I read, by the way, when you tweeted it. And that's a pretty sick deck. Is that the deck you're playing card for card?
The sideboard is different. But I'm playing the Black Splash version of it card for card. And my God, like, that's where, like, the fucking huge robot large mega boner fucking for modern from is. I was like, this looks like a cool fucking list. I've got a couple of these cards and this looks right up my alley anyway. So I'm going to fucking go price this thing out.
It didn't look expensive either. Like,
it's not. I mean, it's expensive for, you know, like, oh shit, I don't, you know, I didn't really plan on spending fucking $120 on cards today.
$120 to
all a modern deck?
Yeah, for exactly, yeah. Right?
That's literally like the cards that I already had from that list were like fucking the Vexing Devils, the Blood Crypts, the Thunderous Wrath, the fucking shitty red miracle, the Knot on Fire. And, fuck, what else? Oh, the Bump of the Night. It's like, you know, just fairly cheap cards. It was, of course, the land base that fucking killed me. The fucking Scalding Tarns and Arid Mesas and fucking, I forget there's other Black Cleave Cliffs and then the other red black, I forget what you call those kind of lands. Taps for colorless, or it hits you for one if you tap it for red or for black.
Oh, those are the pain lands, yeah, okay.
Yeah, the pain lands. I can't remember the name of the red black one. But anyway,
yeah. You even needed all those. You could probably play like a 10, well, maybe not 10, but you could probably like a 6-6 split, just swamps, mountains, and then, you know,
more than need and actually, well, crazy. Actually, there are, I don't know, there's some adjustments I'm already looking at making. The black doesn't really need to be there much. You do want it reliably for the Bump in the Nights because, you know, like the dude in the article says, it's like, he's like, you don't ever want to have bumps in your hand and not be able to cast them. So you want the black land, but, I've started to learn after, you know, getting in and playing for a little while that, like, some of the land I probably don't need. You know, I probably could have gotten away a little bit cheaper because, you know, one of the things I definitely learned, I went to 4 Blood Crypts. Instead of 2, I think is what he recommended.
You take too much damage off him.
Yeah, and that's one of the things I'm learning though. Like that damage is almost, it's irrelevant in modern. Like the matches I've been seeing, it's not like, oh shit, you know, I, you know, had to shock myself fucking twice to get these two fucking lands out. It's either like they're going to go off and kill you and it really
doesn't. Yeah, exactly.
Like,
yeah.
Like Valakut, for instance, is one
of the. You don't matter really what you're at then.
Right. It's like, you know, I Valakut's been my fucking worst fucking matchup so far. And like I said, I lost, like last night I played fucking a bunch of matches. I was just doing two mans till fucking, I tweeted you at fucking, you wrote
something. I know when I woke up in the morning, I'm like, holy shit.
And I was still drunk playing fucking, we had a 3-hour time difference and I was still up drunk playing Magic Online, doing two mans. And like, I was basically just kind of trying to get an idea. I've never really done like statistics wise or anything like that, but I just fucking opened up Word document and, like, I was just recording what matches I was winning, what matches I was losing, and like Valakut, I ran like Splinter Twin and Valakut. I had never even seen the card Splinter Twin before. It's how fucking noob I am to modern.
Oh my God, really?
Like, I had heard lots about the deck Splinter Twin, had no idea what the fuck it did, and then when I was playing against Splinter Twin, I'm like, oh. This must be Splinter Twin because that card is called Splinter Twin. I don't know what this does. But the best part about this fucking red-black burn deck is it doesn't give a fuck what anybody's doing. Like, it really doesn't. Like, you're either going to win or lose, period, and it's just light them on fire.
Right, so here's the thing that I realize with Modern, and a lot of people agree that it's a turn 4 format. So either by turn 4 you've won or you're about to win or you're dead. Uh-huh. Right, so like, is your deck actually winning on turn 4? Like, is it that fast?
Consistently winning on turn 4, which just fucking blows me away. Like, by the way, like, you know, being new to modern and you know, being fairly new to Magic anyway, and being used to playing you guys know I've been playing black red zombies forever, and like it. it's fast. And it is nowhere near as fast as fucking consistently just fucking killing people on turn four. It's gross because they're like, that thing is just slammed full of spells that deal three damage for fucking one mana. And, you know, it's like, it runs, Goblin Guides and, Lavamancer for creatures and one, Aristocrat, which, you know, she's nice, like, she's come in handy, like, once or twice, just, like, when
that
the game...
That seems like an odd call.
It is. You know, it was in the list, and I was just like, you know, I was like, fuck it, that card's good. You know, and I again, was literally going off of, like, this dude's article. And I was like, all right, I'm going to buy this list, and I'm going to, like, as is. And, like I said, the only thing I changed from his list, other than the sideboard, was I ran four Blood Crypts and two Scalding Tarns instead of the other way around. And because I already had the Blood Crypts and Scalding Tarns are fucking expensive. So, but it literally, like, you know, she has come in handy, but she is dead in my hand at times because it's like, you know, I with that deck, I don't normally get up to four land. Yeah. Like, I, you know, and if I do, it's because, like, you've got the Shard Volley deals three damage, but you got a sack of land. So there's a lot of times I end up, like, you know, throwing two of those at them. You know, I'll get my normal burn spell, my bolts and shit like that, lava spikes out of the way. And then
I've got close and try.
Yeah, get them close and then just fucking pop my, you know, pop two lands to get that six damage in because I've got, you know, fucking a lightning bolt coming after it or something like that, you know. And it just, it's so fucking fast. You know, you fucking turn one, you deal three damage. Turn two, you deal six damage. Turn three, you deal nine damage. Like, it's just fucking gross how fast that deck is. And, you know, I was just killing shit. I could not lose. I went and I bought this deck. And I seriously was like, the first night I was playing with it, of course I was drunk. I mean, this is me.
That's Moto Nights. Yeah.
Drinking, fucking playing Moto. And so, you know, I was like, I'm just going to, I no way expected to, like, do this well. I mean, I wasn't, like, playing in tournaments or anything yet. I was just checking shit out. So I jump into the fucking casual room. I played, like, two games and I was like, okay, this is dumb. Cause these are random ass weird decks and this isn't going to teach me anything anyway. I'm trying to learn about what decks are in the format and what they do. Cause my thought originally, which still kind of is the case, maybe, I don't know, is I wanted to play this deck, which is very simple to run. I don't have to do a lot of thinking so I can kind of see what's going on. Like, I can pay more attention to what my opponent's doing, how their decks work. And so I can learn what the fuck Valakut does and what the fuck Splinter Twin does, like,
yeah, exactly.
And actually this shit. So, but I don't know, man. This thing is doing so well. I don't know if I want to change for a while.
No, I love your tweet though that you're like, yeah, I almost had the guy dead with one land. And no, I show you how powerful. Like the people, what people ask me all the time about Modern is like, well, how different is it? Is it like Legacy? I'm like, well, let me put it to you this way: how many times have you won a game with one land and playing Standard?
Right.
And that has happened to me in Modern. And I love when you tweeted that. I was like, yep.
Yeah, I was like, holy shit, this is a whole different fucking story, man. And, it, you know, I, like, by any means, I'm not, like, a fucking expert at playing this shit yet. I've only been doing it for a week. Like, the last fucking episode we casted, I hated Modern. So, and now
so
I've
wait,
got...
Wait. So the new shirt will be, I hate Modern on the front, and it'll be like, I love Modern on the back.
I love Modern. Right. Yeah, heavy metal quotes. Yeah. But no, I basically, like, the first night I started playing with it, I literally could not fucking lose. It was, like, I was just in the tournament practice room, but I played, like, seven or eight matches, and I was hammer drunk, and it got to the point where I was just kind of, like, swerving, looking at my computer screen. I'm like, well, I guess I'm going to hit you for nine this turn. Do something about it. And I was literally waiting for somebody to kill me, and they couldn't do it. I was like, this is fucking retarded. I love Modern. Like, I can't lose. But then I jumped into some, like, I started doing, like, after that, I went into doing, like, some two-mans and some eight, you know, I did an eight-man, and I won.
Okay. How do you do in the eight-man? Because that's usually the test of Modern. Like, the two-mans are either janky people just goofing around, or they're, like, people testing.
Or they're ringers that are just wanting to make packs.
Right? And I found, like, in the two-mans, I hit a lot of Jund. Like, every time I would go in, I'd hit Jund.
I've only run into one Jund deck, and that is the one that knocked me out of the eight-man. Yeah. Everything that I've run into in, I've run into a bunch of different shit, but it's like, in the two mans, it's been Infect, Valakut, Splinter Twin, and, more Valakut.
Oh my god, tell me you don't love seeing Infect.
Don't you just wreck it? I had a ridiculous fucking boner last night because while I was up hammered drunk, you know, this must have been like probably two or three matches before I tweeted you when you woke up. I ran into Infect for the first time, like a modern Infect deck, and I was like, man, I know how fucking fast Infect can be.
One turn kills, man.
I got him. I beat him to it. I was faster than him, and I was just all, I love this fucking burn deck. Like, he got me in one game.
Like, anything he puts on the table, just...
Yeah. And literally, it was, like, the only thing I sided in Pyroclasms, because, like, my sideboard is...
That's actually very good, because you don't want to get hexed out. Like, they have that hex one, so you can't hit them again with the lightning bolt, or, like, whatever your removal is. Pyroclasm's awesome.
That's that, and you know what's funny too is like I threw together a sideboard that I was like, okay, I don't know really what I'm like metaing against, but I don't like because I had no idea what the fuck was going on anyway. But I was like, okay, I'm gonna fill my sideboard with shit that is just good for different situations. Like I threw in fucking Appetite for Brains because I'm like, hey, you know, those get rid of fucking bigger threats. I don't know if it'll be relevant or not. It cracks me up. I've got a fucking Bonfire of the Damned. One Bonfire in the sideboard that the one time I sided it in, I'll probably never do it again. It's coming back out.
Yeah, the Bonfire is not.
Yeah, and it cracks me up, though, because I'm running two of the other shitty-ass fucking... The Thunderous Wrath, the shitty-ass...
I know, that's a weird card. I'm surprised you're running that over Brimstone Volley.
It's because it's fucking amazing. Like, it's dead when it's in your hand, but when it comes up for fucking one mana, and that's why I'm only running two of them. And like I said, it still probably is going to need some adjustment and shit because I've probably played, I'd say between 20 and 25 matches with this deck now.
Now you know what's interesting? What you're doing, because I had a few questions come over to the Twitterverse here, and they were asking me about some of the decks that I was playing, and they were like, well, we're really excited that you guys are playing MTGO, and we're trying to get in, but they don't want to spend a lot of money. And I told them, I'm like, the number one thing you do, and it's exactly what you did, pick something you like and build the budget version of it. Mm-hmm. Like, that's what you do. Do not try to go buying the most expensive cards right away.
Exactly. That's crazy.
Just buy something that's cheaper, even if it's shittier cards, but then you play 25 games and you realize, now I know why those cards are expensive and I see where they're good. Now, the worst thing, as I've seen many people, Kevy did it too, you buy the expensive cards, you get blown out because you don't know how to play the deck, and then you're like, fuck, I hate this format, it sucks, and you want to sell your cards, and now you sold at a loss, and now not only have you bought and lost money, but now you're pissed. And you don't want to get angry at the game or at the client when you could play smart. And so, like, I had a couple people telling me, like, how do I get in standard? What's the cheapest deck? And I was like, well, I'm fooling around with this, like, werewolf deck that I've gone through. Last week I talked about it, and this week I took it to the, well, I built a budget version for, like, $22, or, like, I think it's dirt. It costs nothing. Actually, I think it's less than that. It's literally just garbage, right? Yeah, and it's burn. So I took all like Huntmaster and Garruk and cards that I didn't want to, like, put in the first version of the deck. I, like, put burn. So I put more Brimstone Volleys, right? And the deck did okay. Like, you saw the record. It wasn't too bad. And if I wasn't drunk, I probably would have played a lot better. But then this...
Exactly.
Yeah, like, now that I'm off, I'm like, all right, Huntmasters are in. And I'm putting Rancors, Huntmasters. And it's basically a green Werewolf deck splashing red burn. And I got, you know, Garruks in the sideboards, and I got big Garruk in the sideboard for control. And I've got... Now I cut down from 8 Fogs to just... 2 of the enchantments that regenerate my werewolves to recover from Supreme Verdicts, which is key right. against the Thragtus Bant deck that's going to do Sphinx's Revelation on you. That card, in fact, you probably, now that I've played that deck, because I've been playing a lot of control, whereas, you know, you play werewolves and you're like, well, control will kill you every time. And I'm like, yeah, it will, but not now. Actually, I know how to play against control now. And surprisingly, now listen to this, surprisingly enough, as I'm playing, the people that are playing the, you know, the Sphinx's decks are like, oh my god, whatever. And they don't see that I'm chipping. Like, I get them down to like 3 or 4 life, and they're like, I don't care, because I'm going to Sphinx's for like...
Yeah, I'm going to Revelation.
Yeah, I'm going to get you, and then I'm going to Thrag Test the next turn, and I'm going to ding, 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 or I'm going to, yeah, big deal, I'm only at 8. That's okay, I'm going to, you know, Supreme Verdict you. And I swear to god, one time, I board in I can't remember what the card's called, of course, we're not prepared, but...
it's our vacation, man, we don't have to be prepared. You
it's the one in one green. It's an enchantment, and it essentially says that you can sack the enchantment and regenerate all your werewolf creatures, and it gives them one, okay, one plus O. But what's so great about it is you'll get 3 or 4 werewolves on the table, your Mayor of Averbucht is flipped, and as soon as the Mayor flips, it's just, you do not, and this is the key to playing werewolves, you get the Mayor down, you get him flipped, and then you don't play any creatures. And it's not that you're trying to win fast, it's that you're trying to protect yourself against being swept. So if you can get that enchantment down, literally I have played an 8-turn battle against the control deck trying to get that off the board. Because he can't sweep. Because I regenerate and kill him the next turn. And I had him like freaking out. He's doing everything he can to like detention sphere it and like, oh, I drop another one. And then like whatever he's doing, he's racing me to try and get that off the board. Because he understands that when he brings in the Elixir of Immortality, he's got that infinite loop going where he's going to just reshuffle his graveyard and you know, you can't win at that point.
Back and forth, yep.
Yeah, and I've tried, you know, sideboarding like Ancient Grudge against this, but it doesn't do anything. But the real thing is, that if it gets beyond a certain point, you're dead anyways, you might as well just quit the game. But you fight over turn 3, between turn 4, 5, and 6, when, like, if you get that down... You know, your Mayor's flipping, it's making guys, you're going to kill him in 1 or 2 turns, and then he's looking for a sweeper, and he's digging. And that's the thing. Like, they usually, like, sit there and they're like, well, they try to detention sphere, or they'll be looking for the other answer instead of the sweeper, and then you can try and get him in. And many times, I've done the old trick where I'll get them down about 5 life, and then I'll let him have the enchantment. I'll say, fine, oh, you got me, and then he'll cast a sweeper, and I'll Brimstone Volley for the game.
Right?
Because the idea is you play the deck so differently against control. Like, when you're playing aggro or, you know, any of those other games, you're just, like, playing almost like basically an overrun black-red burn deck. You just want to throw werewolves on the board and just smash. And just smash and burn.
Which,
and,
you know, I love doing.
Oh, yeah, right? Like, all you want to do is put werewolves and burn. And just burn, smash. And you can usually, surprisingly enough, when you first look at werewolves, you're like, nah. But when they flip, man, it's such a tempo shift.
That thing is so explosive. Daniel has a, like, back, you know, I think this was maybe even pre-Avacyn. He only had like a couple decks like that he had had forever. He had like an illusions deck and like a fucking golem deck and shit. I was like, dude, you need more decks. I've been fucking, you know, it was when it was really like kind of resurged and started getting back, like getting into Magic and having a lot of fun with it. I was like, you need more decks, man. I'm sick of playing against those two. I'm building new decks like every fucking week. And he's just like, well, I don't know. You know, I don't have a whole bunch to fucking spend on Magic cards and I don't really know what else. And he started looking. And I was like, well, I've got like, that was when I was going through my, like, I would just go buy 5 or 6 boosters a week, like just wasting my money on boosters, because I'm like, you're like that crackhead, like it's like lottery tickets to me fucking feeling. I just go spend a bunch of money on boosters, pull a bunch of crap,
and be like, oh man,
you know. But I like, so I just had like this growing and growing and growing box of fucking random ass cards that I wasn't doing anything with. Because then I'd be like, oh man, I want to make this deck, so I'd order those cards, and I'd still go buy like 6, 7 fucking packs and open them all up and be like, oh cool, I pulled something, you know, that'll be worth something at some point, and that's it. And so I had all this shit, and he's just like, I don't know, you got all these fucking werewolves and shit. I was, you know, maybe I'll try that out and make a fucking werewolves deck. And he you know, we went through and pulled out all the fucking werewolves and shit that I had, and then look, you know, we ordered a couple that, you know, we needed. He only had like one Hunt Master that I pulled.
Yeah.
Because, you know, they're fucking expensive. He's like, you know, I don't want, you know, just kind of check it out. I don't want to spend the money. So we had one Hunt Master, but we got, like, the Mayors and shit like that. And he made this just, like, a strictly fucking werewolf deck. And, like, he got away from it because it's, like, it is one of those things. He didn't really fine-tune it. But it's one of those things where it is fucking brutal, explosive when it happens. Yeah. But then there's a lot of time, it's really hit and miss.
Well, you know what the weird thing about Werewolves was? When it first came out, remember, Scars was still legal, and Ratchet Bomb was just basically, well, you don't play Werewolves. Like, every time I ever tried to play it with Ratchet Bomb in the format, I'd be like...
couldn't do anything about it.
Like, I'd be like, fuck
fucking blanked it all.
Oh, it was the worst, too, is when all your shit flips and the guy's like, Ratchet Bomb, dead. Yeah. Ah, what the hell is that, right? But now, I think a lot of people have, like, you know, Werewolves got stigmatized by that, all their shit, they're easy swept, but they're not. They're actually very good. Like, I'm actually very happy. Like,
well, that's
I thought I wouldn't like it as much. But
I definitely understand. Like, Rancor is an awesome fucking...
Oh, and Rancor. Sorry. So, yeah. So, let me tell you. The key cards to that deck, if anyone wants to build it, because people have been asking for the deck list, is Wolfbitten Captive is a one-drop green. And he's that guy that's the guy in the cage, and then he flips. And what's weird about it is, when you look at it first, he's a one-drop... And he costs one, so he comes down. And next turn, you can play one and a green, and he gets pumped, 2+2.
Right.
Right? So that's interesting, you know, because if the guy plays a spell, you're attacking him for three if you want. Now, yeah, it's a tempo play because you don't get to do anything. But that's not where you really need you use him. What's scary about that card is when it flips for four, it's a +4/+4. So it becomes this insane win con because you put it on the board, and most people are like, whatever, I don't care. All right, so next turn I'll drop a Mayor of Aberbrook, and they're like, yeah, all right, well, I'll just keep, you know, casting spells so it won't flip. And then I'm like, that's great. I'll Rancor the Wolfbitten Captive, and now it's a 3-1, and they're like, whatever. Oh, wow, you're going to pump it 2+2 for a 5. Well, that's kind of significant, and get in a couple times. But if it ever flips, if they ever screw up, if they ever stall out, that's that's 7 or 8, 9 damage with a Rancor, and it's...
Oh yeah,
dude, it reminds me of my Green White Humans with Silverblade Paladin or Paladin.
Well, see,
like,
most definitely. But that's what I was wondering when I asked you about it. And of course, like I said, Rancor is a fucking
Rancor is just a
hell of a card. But I'm curious if, like, is there room in that deck for, you know, because I know how much you love the fucking the silver inlaid daggers. To me it seems like, you know, you've got
they're humans, right?
Yeah, they're human. Yes. Not when they flip, but I mean when they flip, they're strong as shit. But it almost makes it so that when they're so much more resilient, and they're still fucking, they're brutal as shit when they're not. Or, you know, when they're in their human form, when they're flipped back or whatever, because they're humans and they gain that fucking... What, Inlaid Dagger gives them...
Well,
what
it's 2-1? It's 2-0 if they're not 2-0. Human. Yeah, but if they're human, it's 3-0.
Yeah, right.
So here's the thing. I love that card. And it actually works very well with a werewolf deck because it costs 1 to get down. And then you can flip your werewolves because it's down and you're equipping it. So it's not like a spell was cast, so it's not like you're totally losing out on your mana. The problem that I've found with that card is I did maybe 10 rounds with it, and then I said, I don't know, I forgot about Rancor, right? And I threw Rancor in, and then I just totally forgot about, you know, the dagger, because I saw how it brutal, like the trample.
Oh, no, I do that all the time. That's why I was curious about it, but like, I don't know.
No, but it's the trample. Like, what I've found is the extra damage isn't as valid as the trample. The trample that Rancor gives is what fucks all their blocks up, right? Because Lingering Souls, good luck blocking that shit, right? Yeah. Like, I got you're going to block me with a fucking beast token? Well, I'm flying over. I'm going to, you know, just rample in there at like 6-4.
And that's the one thing I love. So, I mean, I like everybody that's ever played with Rancor knows this, but I have to say, like, that's what I love about Rancor too, is on top of all that shit, like, it just, like, it, and if
it's
they
a brutal
do
card.
Figure out how to deal with it, then it just goes back into your hand and you use it all over again.
And you know what? That was one of the biggest things that I realized, that even that if, you know, you're playing the dagger, it drops for one, but you equip for two. And I found that, like, when you're playing werewolves, a lot of your werewolves are going to get killed. That just happens. That's the nature of the game. So I just would rather
to your hand, spend one, and do it again.
Yeah. Well, it's like spending one instead of two. And the trample is what I needed. I didn't need the extra big points. I needed the ability to just get through blockers. And when you give them no chance, like the Instigator Gang, which is that 3-1 red, just brutal beast that when they attack, everybody gets 3-0 when he flips.
Oh, yeah. Is it all creatures or all werewolves?
All creatures, buddy.
Oh, yeah, that's right, because that's one of my
things
has that in his anti-league deck, and it's not okay.
No, it's not. Like, literally, when that thing hits, and they know that you better have a sweeper, or you're dead. Like, and the only thing that I've said, like, after my next 25 games, I think I went much better. I was doing, I think, I can't remember my final score, but I think I was like 15 or 16, and 8 or 9. So I did much better. I was probably a little sober, but I think I did really good. But you brought up that point last year, last cast about putting white and taking it Naya.
Oh, yeah.
And that's so interesting. Like, but then it scares me because what white card would I want? I'd only want one card. Silverblade Belady. Because that's what I want, man. Or maybe the Angel.
Oh, yeah. I guess that, too.
I might want the Angel, you know, because the Slashing.
Lingering Souls is just awesome. You can stick that in everything.
I
might even put that in my modern burn deck.
Actually, you know what? That's not a bad idea. Black, right, white, or black, red, white? Maybe.
Yeah, no. That deck's too fast to do anything but what it does. Like it. But, no, I just fucking, like, I don't know. Lingering Souls is just such an awesome fucking card. I love using it in everything.
Okay, so, like, I've been fooling with modern. I've been fooling with standard. You've been fooling with modern. So, after you played.
Yeah, this is completely backwards.
Hold on. So after you played Modern now, right, you've gotten into it. What are your thoughts? Like, where do you want to go? Like, do you think that you're going to keep with this deck?
Or that's exactly what I was getting at, is it cracks me up that, like, as you were, you know, this is like a complete flip-flop from, like, the last fucking 6 months. Like, you know, every time you do bring up anything in Modern, I'm like, oh, my God, shut up. I don't care. And then, I'm like, but standard, and then now, like, you're talking about shit in standard, not that I'm like, oh my God, shut up, but I'm like, oh man, this seems so foreign to me, because I haven't played standard in, like, a week. And
I have to interrupt you, so, because someone on Twitter just hit me with this. And remember they said that we were bitching about, we were promoting, you know, MTG over paper.
Right.
Now, you tell me, answer this question truthfully. There is no way, if one night you were sitting around and said, if you didn't have MTGO, you know, like, I'm going to play modern.
Mm-hmm.
You couldn't do it.
Right.
In paper, you couldn't. You'd have to go to the store. They probably wouldn't have
a card. I mean, even if right? You went as far as to be like, you know what, fuck it, I'm going to order these fucking cards right now, which I do at times. Yeah.
Log into face games and, like, let's order the shit, but it's still going to be a week and a half.
Yeah, and then by the time the cards get there, I'm like, oh, man, I was drinking. I shouldn't have done this. Like, now I'm going to have to. And then you're going to have that opportunity. You're like, oh, that was such a bad idea. I'm going to go down to my local game store and try to fucking trade these in and get rid of them or sell these to somebody or whatever. Because fucking modern, what the fuck am I doing? But when you can just order the cards, like, literally, I was talking to somebody about this. Like, that's the beauty of fucking Moto. Like, literally, you can be like, fuck this. I'm going to play modern, and I ordered the fucking cards, and in like fucking 20 minutes I was, you know, had the deck put together, and I was in fucking playing modern games and fell in love with the deck, and I was like, this is fucking awesome.
Love, like, you know what I love more than anything? Like, I love watching coverage, and I love reading articles, and I love being able to just say, that's a wicked idea. Keep the browser open, start up, you know, Moto, and be like, and start building the deck, and be like, oh, wait, let me check that card. Oh, that's a great idea. Like, I love that. And
yeah, the guy's not even finished the game yet, and you're already playing the deck on Moto.
Yeah, exactly.
That's beautiful.
The guy's not even driven down to the comic store yet, and we're like, well, we've had 4 battles, man.
Yeah, no, that's what I'm saying. We're not even that. No, I'm talking about the guy on fucking, the guy that's playing the deck on coverage.
Like,
you see it game one, and you're like, that's fucking sick. And then, like, by the time he gets to game three, you're playing it on Moto.
Yeah, all the bots are sold out because they've been speculated. Yep. That's the only bad thing.
Yeah,
if you want to buy cards, never. Here's a tip, people. Never, ever, ever, even though it's so addicting to watch coverage and then see a card and buy the card, don't do it. Because it's either jacked in price or it's sold out and it's going to make you angry. You have to do your research. Like, you have to put your time in, man. I hate agreeing with Jeebish all the time, but he made a good comment today, and he's like, do the fucking research. Don't ask dumb questions. I mean, no question is dumb, but do the research, you know? Like, don't just sit there and be the fish, you know, and be like, oh, okay, I guess I'm going to go in now. You know, like, you know, do the research. Find out what you want to do, and, you know, if there is coverage coming up, try to make those buys a day or two before coverage, you know, if it's the deck you want to play.
Yeah, make friends with those that are really good so that you can
find. Listen to better cats, because it's not.
Yeah, listen to better cats. Don't listen to us. No, that's one thing, too, is, like, that I have learned is fucking, we've talked about this before, too, but, like, from my mistakes in that whole fucking, like, selling off my fucking zombie deck and then buying drag tusks and shit fiasco and then selling those, like.
And now Orzhov's going to come back, and you're like, oh, man.
Yeah, I'm like, oh, man.
He's back.
No, it's like I sold off my Aristocrats. I sold off my Bonfires. Is really all I ended up doing. And now, like, you know, I've gotten, you know, I've been buying them like one at a time to get back as they've kind of dropped in price. But that's the thing is, like, I won't get rid of my fucking cards anymore. The only reason that cards like will come out of my collection period anymore is like to help a friend out, like, well, you know. Right. And that's the only reason. Like, I still have no problem. Like, you know, if I've got friends, you know, that I'm getting into Moto, and this doesn't mean you little bastards don't, you know, if you talk to me once on Twitter and then you decide, you're like, hey, I'm going to get into Moto. Kevin, give me all your cards. Yeah. No, not going to happen. But no, it's like, I do, you know, care about people getting into this and you know, and our fans and friends of mine and shit like that. When I have friends that are getting into fucking Moto, you know, I've got, a friend recently here in town that, like, I just met not too long ago. It's like a friend of a friend. We kind of got our own, like, it's not just me and Daniel anymore. We've got like four of us, like, yeah, you know, actively playing Magic now. And one of them, it cracks me up. You've got, was it Blackwing Seraph on Twitter is Josh, the dude that lives across the fucking carport from me. Oh, yeah. And then you've got fucking Kraken Jacked is Rob, who's a buddy of his that he brought over to come play Magic one night. And it's awesome. Like Daniel was talking about, you know, he's been into Magic forever. And then I got into it. We started playing it. And then it just, for me, it just took off. Like, I mean, he still just casually plays and I went ape shit with it. And then Rob, you know, used to play Magic. Or I mean, I'm sorry, Josh used to play Magic and fucking then he got, you know, into it a little bit more now since we've been playing, played a couple times, brought his friend Rob over, and Rob just went ape shit with it. Yeah. And fucking, and so we've been, he jumped on Twitter, he's been listening to our podcast, he's been just fucking, so I got a huge shout out to all those guys, my new play group in town. But the thing that, you know, Rob has been asking me about, is getting into Moto and, you know, like we were just talking about, like how to get into it, you know, cheaper, you know, and where to start with it and stuff like that. And that's like, that's a perfect example. That's the only place my cards are going to go is to somebody like him. I'm like, hey dude, let's get you on there. Cause he did exactly what we were talking about. He got on there. He's like, what the fuck is all this crap? Like, I'm like, yeah, and what's even better is the gold bordered cards you can't even use. And he's like, apparently, like, they give you, and I didn't know this, but apparently now they give you, like, a bundle of commons and uncommons or something when you start to, like, they're usable, but it's still a bunch of junk that he couldn't make anything out of. And I was like, dude, we'll get on Moto. We'll fucking, you know, he's, you know, into fucking, he built like an Izzet deck that he brought over, like a pretty good fucking Izzet deck that he brought over. And was playing with, and I was like, you know, you're into playing that? Like, we'll get on Moto, we'll look through all of my shit, you know, because I don't have any fucking, like, is it cards that I really fucking use or anything, and I mean, there's red and blue cards that I don't use blue cards, but yeah. But I've got, you know, I've got a bunch of extra shit that actually could, you know, we can build you some awesome decks, and I told him, I was like, it's not that bad. It's not that expensive to get into. When I got onto Moto, the first deck I built was fucking Mono Blue Delver. And it was without the swords. Like, I just did it without the swords. It was like fucking your normal Mono Blue Delver fucking build, but with, I think I was using just the pike or I don't know what I was using for equipment. But it, like, the whole fucking deck cost me like $6 on Moto. And I was like, and I had a standard deck that I could go fucking play with. And so, it, like, you know, it's not that expensive to get into Moto if you want to get in and start playing. But the one thing is, like, getting back to what I was talking about is just don't fucking do what I did and start ditching your cards when you're like, oh, man, well, I mean, I'm not going to play this fucking Zombies deck anymore because it's getting its ass kicked. So I'm going to sell off these Bonfires while they're still worth some money and then fucking buy some other cards, you know, speculate on some shit I know nothing about. Yeah, dude, terrible idea. Yeah, so just hold on to everything.
Exactly. So, like, to people that keep asking me, because I know you get excited when we talk speculation targets, and it sounds like, you know, you can make quick money fast, but it's not. You can't. Like, you have to realize, if you're just getting in, like Kevy said, don't sell cards. Just buy the cards you want to play with, and you know what, the number one thing that I have learned this season especially, I've had more fun playing stupid jank decks that I built and that I played against. I didn't even play against a Thragtus. Funny enough, all in the last like 4 or 5 days. And it's just been fun stuff. If you can give your cards that you're not using to someone who's starting and then you get a guy to play with every once in a while, it's worth it.
Exactly.
Like, it really is. Now, I'm not saying you give the guy bonfires and fucking Sphinx's revelations. You know, don't. Yeah. I doubt you're that nice. But, yeah. You know, the point is, make the relationships, help the community. You'd be surprised how much fun. It's not all about the most expensive cars.
Well, exactly. That's exactly the thing, too. Like, as much fun as I have, like, I mean, that's what's great about Moto. You can jump on and you can just fucking play whenever against fucking whoever and just and get better.
Yeah, and the thing is, if you screen, like, but the more connections you make with people,
that's what
now
I'm
that
saying.
Now that me and Kevin have done the show for 10 episodes, we've got like a good 20-30 people that like ask us to play now, and they're actually kind of like, yeah, they're vetted, you know, heavy metal listeners, so we know they're not just janks that are going
to
tell us.
Right, that's what I'm. Yeah, it's like it's fine to be able to get out and just play matches, just to play against a fucking nameless, faceless opponent that, you know,
if you want to test
just to get better. But at the same time, like, the more networking you can do, the more you become friends with people, or the more you just fucking listen to our podcast and join our clan on fucking Moto, then it's so much more fun to be able to play those games with your friends. Like, you know, it's one thing to get on and just play games, but then, like, me getting on, like, when me and Maddie jump on and fucking play, like, games against each other, it's so much more fun, because then it's like, fuck it, you know, get on Skype, and then we're bullshitting back and forth. And then it's not so much like, I'm playing with these digital cards against these random nameless people on the internet. It's not really the same thing as playing Magic that I'm used to, you know, paper Magic. It is. Like, when I can jump on and fucking, you know, play games at fucking whatever time of the night with Maddie on Skype, who's in fucking Canada and I'm in fucking California, it's awesome. We can bullshit, we laugh, and have a good time. And you get to fucking, you make friends that way, you know, that you can play with. And then, you know, maybe when you need to fucking borrow some bonfires, they'll let you fucking borrow them.
Right. And you know, the number one thing we just want to stress is there is a competitive side, and we like that competitive side as well. But, like, I've played for a while. Kevy's just getting in. So, Heavy Meta tries to give you the example of, like, here's, you know, Kevy. He's, you know, I guess
I'm the new idiot.
He's the new dude, and I'm like the kind of like semi veteran. There's much, much better people like Norbs, who probably knows way more than I do. But, you know, we're giving you these options to see. But the number one thing we're trying to do is, like, we're making the mistakes so you don't have to. So, you know, you see what we do.
No, there's one thing I have to interject though. There's like, I'm sorry, but this is relevant.
Go on, yeah.
Somebody was, and I'm sorry, I forget who it was. Somebody was tweeting me about this the other day and asking, you know, like I said earlier, about getting into Moto and getting in, you know, cheap. And one thing you have to realize when you're doing this, you can get in. Moto is cheaper than fucking paper to play.
Way cheaper.
Yes, but you still have to. It really depends on what you want to do. You can't expect to jump in with fucking $20 and have a tier one deck. It's not, you know, it just doesn't.
No, no.
So you have to either, I mean, you can do either go the direction of, like, if you do want to be competitive and you don't have the fucking money at the moment, start out fucking playing Pauper, you know, and go that route. Like, play Pauper, you know. Play a deck that is going, you know, is a very competitive deck in that format that's going to cost you fucking $20, and then work your way up. Or you can jump in, you can start playing standard, but you have to realize that you're going to have to play like a weird off the wall, you know, random ass deck that, you know, you put together and might work well in certain situations, but you're going to jump into fucking, you know, tournament practice rooms or fucking tournaments, and you're going to be playing against fucking Thragtusks everywhere or Sphinx's
Revelation. Right, but you know what? You have to, like, I guess
you
that's
have
a good question.
You have to be prepared for that.
Right.
Like, if you want
to
jump
you have to be ready to go on the journey. And like, a lot of people want to get the journey over with as quickly as possible. And I got to laugh, because, like, once you get all the cards, You may think that it's better, like, if you could log on a Moto and a magical, you know, worth kind of gives you the golden ticket, and you're like, here's four of everything. And you may think that would be awesome, but the truth is it isn't. It would be boring. Because me and Kevy love that we have to try and, you know, maybe use shittier cards to try and, like, and you know, the day when you use substandard cards and take down a tier one deck, dude, there's nothing better than, and the guy's just, you know, he rage quits, or he's like, man, you're bullshit, you know, and you're like, yes, I did it, you know, and then you
dude,
build up.
That there's no, like, you know, we've said this before, you can't, like, if you took away the value of cards and shit, like,
right.
I think on
right.
one episode.
Took all like, the dollar value away.
It just takes the fun out of it, because, like, there, that's another thing, not only taking down a tier one deck with some janky homebrew fucking deck that you built up, it just feels awesome, but it's also that, like, the first time you get to fucking cast a bonfire or the first time you get to fucking cast Geist Assassin.
Pretty awesome.
It's you're just all awe. And it, like, the reason that that card is so awesome, not only is because it's that powerful, but because you had to spend fucking like 4 hours worth of wages on that fucking card. You know?
Yeah, exactly, right? Like, you know, you waited a month to get it. Now you're going to make sure you cast it right. Like, it's one of those things.
In turn, going to make you cast it at the wrong time.
Right.
And it shows up in your hand, you're going to cast it. I don't know how many times I've done that. I'm like, I'm playing it. I don't give a shit.
I paid $30. This thing's going down. I don't care if I lose. I'm casting this card.
Yeah. Four bombs in my deck. I should probably run two, but for fuck's sake, I've got four of them. They're all four going in.
Yeah. But I mean, like, people ask the question, like, well, you know, that's not what it's like in paper. And I'm like, yes, it is. It's actually 10 times worse than paper. Yeah. Like, here's the funny thing is, Kevy wanted to get into Modern. He did. He may have spent $120, but he got into Modern. Do you know that I've never even played Modern in paper? And that's because, well, actually, I have one deck I've goofed around, but it's not even built to play. It's just a mishmash of shit that are Modern cards. But the truth is, I can't, because I'm like, well, I gotta go to the store, I'd have to order shit online, and I know people do this, and I'm not, you know, we're not here to totally bash paper. We do like paper, we love our foils. Those are beautiful. You know? Yeah, well, exactly. Now you bring up a great point. The more you play, the more you love the game. The more you love the game, the more chances you will play this game in any formats. Funny enough, I built the Guild Wars paper, you know, version, and I've played that over the holidays more than I've played it online. So, you know, it's interesting. Like, it's just another way to play.
Vacation.
Yeah, oh yeah, it was
still we have to do some Guild Wars too, because I still haven't got to.
Don't worry, I will give you a set. We will play because it is fun. It is pretty awesome. So speaking of Standard and Return of Ravnica, we've gotten some holiday previews.
Yes, the previews.
If you have not seen
new mechanics.
Yeah,
Dimir's the only mechanic that we don't have spoiled yet, right?
So yeah, so tomorrow we'll get that. Unfortunately, guys, I'll be editing tomorrow and I'll post this site. We don't have the Dimir, but we have the other ones. So we're gonna take a quick jump into some of these.
Well, what you could do actually is when it gets spoiled, when you're doing editing, you can just record yourself. You could record yourself talking about it and then just clip me going what? Fuck Standard. Who cares? I love Modern. Okay. And, like, it'll just be a part of the episode.
I could do that. You just said the clip. I'll mark it. Done. Listen for that to see if I have time to do that. but so check it out here. Kevy, we'll look at the Fathom Mage, which is the Merfolk girl.
Merfolk, yes.
Yeah, so this is the...
See that one.
Yeah, this is what is it? Simic. So the Simic trap. So Fathom Mage is... Well, I'll save the casting cost for last. So here's Evolve, people. Here's their mechanic. So whenever a creature enters the battlefield under your control, if that creature has greater power or toughness than this creature, put a 1-1 counter on it. So that's kind of interesting. Second part of the card is whenever a 1-1 counter is placed on Fathom Mage, you can draw a card. So it's kind of similar to, like, Mentor of the Meek. Now here's the very, very shitty part of this card. It's a 1-1. Okay? It's two, a green and a blue. It's four CMC.
Ugh.
Yeah, exactly. So soon as I saw four mana, I'm like, four mana? Dude, that's ridiculous. On turn four, I can be doing Thrag Test. I can be doing Garruk the Relentless. I can be doing Restoration Angel. I can do a million things.
Not like, I'm going to make my guy bigger than yours.
Right, but you can't because you'll put it down and it won't be till next turn when my Hellkite will be flying in your face. So, you know, a lot of people... Yeah. Saying none of the cards at least are standard playable, but I'm not going to totally bash it because I have no idea. Other cards could make this playable, but I find it very, very difficult that this will see play.
The information that's there, like the things that have been spoiled, it's like, you know, that's one thing I've looked at. Like, I haven't really liked any of the mechanics.
Hold on, let's go one at a time so we give people some build up here. But so the Merfolk, because a lot of people said, well, why are you speculating? I'm like, I wasn't speculating. I just know Simic is going to have Merfolk in it, and I know, like, that Master of the Pearl Trident, dude, he was like 0.0, he was 5 cents.
Right.
So I bought like 20 of them. Now, if it goes to 20 cents, I've made $3. You know, whatever. Like, the point is, for 5 cents, go ahead. Okay, I know we tell people don't speculate, but if you see a card that's 5 cents, go ahead and speculate.
Fuck it. Yeah,
because it's cents. And they're great cards to learn on. But anyways, the Merfolk thing is all going to come down to if it's a tempo play that if this evolve mechanic is free, and it can't have restrictions, it can't have pay a mana, it can't have other kinds of bizarre restrictions. If it's like I drop my turn one Merfolk, it has evolve, my turn two Master of the Pearl Dryden hits, now my guy's 3/3 or 4/4, that's interesting. Right, that's now we're talking like legacy style merfolk decks. That is where I could see the Simic Tribe being amazing. Do I think Fathom Mage is part of that deck? Nope, not at all.
Well, see, that's exactly what I was getting at. Regardless which one, like, and it works with this one, but I was talking about all of them in general. From what I've seen, like, it's not so much that I don't like the mechanics that are there, like that for each tribe. It's right. It's the ways they've been spoiled, the cards they've been spoiled on. The cards aren't they're less than spectacular. So this very well. I mean, like you said, like with this card, the four converted mana cost is terrible. But that on a different body, like you know, a different body for a different casting cost. Like now these mechanics might still be good. It's just that, like you know, like this mechanic might be great on the next card that comes out that's got an evolve fucking mechanic on it because it might have a way better body and it might have way more you know way better synergy with other shit. But from what I've seen so far, like this perfect example, it's like no, it's trash, I don't like it.
Now here's what's funny, for some reason we've seen four of the new guilds and I gotta tell you, I don't like any of the mechanics. Now if you take a look at the Return to Ravnica guilds, even when we saw the first couple of cards, take you know, Detain. Detain. Like, as soon as we saw Detain, I was like, holy shit, that thing's amazing. Like,
right.
You know it's going to be good. And the same thing with Blur. What is it? Bloodthirst. Right? Or is that it? The Rakdos?
Unleash.
Unleash. You know that it's a simple mechanic. It's very underpowered, but you know, hey, I get it. That's what it's going to do. The Scavenge mechanic looked insanely powerful from the day I saw it. Like, wow, free pump from the graveyard for, you know, right. That looked good too. And of course, is it was amazing. Like as soon as you saw it, you were like, wow, that's awesome. You know, like, you know, they're going to play it. So this time.
But then look at what happened though. Like, I mean, you know, with some of that, like,
sure.
The Unleash thing worked out great for, limited.
The fast early draw.
And basically it was just like the only time you've really seen anything fucking Unleash is in limited.
That's not true. No. I've seen one mana guys, the Hauser.
Okay, yeah, that's true. I was running the Cackler. That is true. Okay, so that had its spot there. The Scavenge thing, yeah. When I first saw it, I thought Scavenge was going to be fucking awesome. That just kind of pittered out.
And I'm telling you, green, black, zombies, man, lolly troll. Like, cards are powerful. They're going to come back. You wait.
One of my new fucking playtest fucking group, Josh, has got this fucking Golgari deck that he fucking built. He finally got all the cards for it. He got his fucking Abrupt Decays. He got his Lotless Trolls. He got everything together. That thing we were playing fucking, was it last night? Yeah, last night. And it's got cool, some man. Shit.
All I got to say is I was playing this green-red fast, or green-black zombie deck, and it had Dreadbridge Goliath. The 4-mana 5/5 that, you know, scavenges. That thing is brutal in that deck, but we're not going to go too off topic. We're going to jump back into the previews so people don't totally hate us. So we'll jump into Gruul, which I've been excited for Gruul. And we got Blood Rush. Now, Blood Rush seems to be like a Lands Matter mechanic. This card, the Rubble Hulk, Rubble Hulk. So Rubble Hulk is 4, a red and a green. It's an elemental. It says Rubble Hulk's power and toughness are each equal to the number of lands you control. Not very impressive. But it has Blood Rush, which is So it's got one red and a green.
Rubber Hulk needs to be the name of the episode.
Done. So one red and a green, discard Rubber Hulk. Rubber Hulk. Okay, well, he's Rubber Hulk now. Fuck, that's his new name. His new name is Rubber Hulk. Target attacking creature gets XX. So basically, it's a pump. So for 3 mana, let's say on turn 3, you discard this big fat guy you maybe don't have lands for, and your guy would get +3/+3. Is that big when giant grows around? No. Do I see this working? Like, if it's just pump, I think Blood Rush is worse than Unleash, in my honest opinion. I just don't see it. Now, if if they're going to play, like, you look at Bobo there, or the spoiled Boreogioglis, he's kind of like you pitch lands for value. So I kind of assume it's going to be like Gruul is going to be very lands matter, and it won't just be about pumping creatures by ditching cards. Maybe it'll be, have other effects, kind of like how Is It is not just about one type of spell, it's any spell, it's just the mechanic is overload or don't overload. So right. Maybe it's kind of like that. And I think if they do it that way, I actually really like Blood Rush. I think it could be cool and varied and unique. So I'm hoping that they just take these mechanics and don't make them so narrow. That's just my hope.
Right. No, I definitely agree with that.
You know, am I impressed with Rubber Hulk here? No, I'm not.
Dude, you have to put on on the banner. You have to find some. You remember that like Stretch Armstrong guy?
Yeah, you want
but you need to find that. But like, you just need to make him green.
Okay,
or just a Rubber Hulk. Dude.
I'll do Rubber Hulk. That's it. The Rubber Hulk with condoms all over his face.
Yeah, or just do that. Just the Hulk with condoms all over.
Or I'll just take like an empty condom and just a Rubber Hulk. Because I am the Rubber Hulk, right?
Yes, okay. You are the Rubber Hulk.
So the one that got everyone the most excited, and even I did, I kind of fell victim to this like initial, oh my god, was the Boros mechanic.
Boros, yeah.
Yeah, so we got Firemane Avenger, which that sounds insane already, right? It's an angel throwing lightning. I mean, it looks mental, right? It's two, a red, and a white. Kind of expensive. It's a 3/3, so that's already not very good. But it flies, so 3/3, 4. Hold on, let me read.
Yeah, go ahead and read it off.
So this is the mechanic. So Battalion, whenever Firemane Avenger and at least two other creatures attack, Firemane Avenger deals 3 damage to target creature or player, and you gain 3 life. So it's essentially a Lightning Helix,
on a creature.
Yeah, but it reminds me of Captain No Blocks.
Right, you have so, to
two you have other to be creatures, dude. Come on. Now, I know a lot of people said, Boros, of course they're going to have two other creatures. Of course they're going to be attacking with this shit. And yes, in my red-white humans deck, I can absolutely see this card fitting in it.
Here's hey, you draw, like, end of opponent's turn, you drop fucking, you know, well, I guess that doesn't even work. Never mind.
No.
You drop Gathered Townsfolk or fucking...
You can.
You know, something like that.
You can. Now, but here's
you can get those out there, but...
Hold on. Here's the thing. Okay, so here's the thing in my red-white humans deck. I win on turn 4.
Right.
Win the game on turn 4. I don't want to drop a creature that's going to win the game next turn or the turn after. That's exactly. Not the deck I'm playing.
And that's not even necessarily winning the game either. Like, I mean, unless you've already got them pretty fucking low. Like, if you can get them within range by turn you already had better be winning
right.
The fucking game.
So here's the thing. This card is in a mid-rangey, maybe like a Huntmaster. He reminds me of Huntmaster, but look at Huntmaster. He's way better than this. Like, way better, right? So, is it a good card? No. Like, J-Boost has kind of taught us, like, it's not a good card. It looks cool. Do I want to play it casually? Yeah. Would I put this, like, am I going to be excited when I cast this in the, you know, Guild Ward battles? Yeah, it's going to be fucking awesome. I can't wait to play this in Limited. Is it a standard constructor card? No, it's not. It's not even close.
Well, and that's it. The thing. The mechanic might be okay on a different fucking body.
No.
But on this body, no.
Yeah, okay, hold on. With the other mechanic, I can agree. This mechanic, listen to it. When two other creatures attack, if everything they do needs two other creatures to attack for it to trigger some other effect, it's horrible.
But look at, okay, for instance, and I don't know if this is feasible or not, but like, what if they put this like on a very weak 1 or 2 drop?
Matt,
you know, like a 1/1 for 2, or maybe even a 1/1 for 3. But then you're getting it out earlier, and then that's where, like, you know, with Boros, that's how, you know, that's where you can do things like fucking Thatcher's Revolt, and you've got 3 swinging, or you got fucking Lingering Souls, you got Gathered Townsfolk, you've got token producers that drop out fucking creatures fast. And if this mechanic is on a body that is a lot cheaper and maybe more resilient, like, optimally, it would be something, you know, maybe
one
like
mana.
Fucking
it would have to cost one mana.
One mana, or maybe 2 for like a 1/3, so it has an ass on it that's.
Boros doesn't have those types of cards. It would be like a 3/1. Like, here's the thing. Like, if you look at it, if it's on a 1 drop, this mechanic works very well, because then, okay, you know, next turn, both guys, you know, maybe I'm playing Lightning whatever the fucking dude is, the haste guy that gives your other guy haste.
Lightning Mauler.
Yeah, Lightning Mauler, right? So that works. I can see that working. But there's so many other things that you can do.
Ooh, there's your Slayer Stronghold, Maddie.
Yeah, but Slayer Stronghold is already two to activate. So I would need six mana to get this guy on the thing?
No, well, it's two Hellrider. And itself, right?
Yeah, but I just say this. Hellrider. It's yeah. four mana, and it comes down, and it does more damage than this thing does anyway. So
exactly.
Or I could put Sublime Angel, which on a Silver Blade the turn before is hitting for the game, essentially.
Right.
You know? So, like, you have to look at, like, is this card going to do something? Like, we saw, like, what was it called? Hero of Bladehold. That was a 4-drop. That was an army in a can. Like, I played with that card. That thing was sickening.
Right.
This card is nowhere near that level. Nowhere near. So, is it interesting? Nope. For standard, I just don't see this being a card at all.
This actually brings up a great fucking point, Maddie, because this is one thing that I am just now starting to get past. Like, I used to do a lot of the same thing that a lot of people I've seen on Twitter do. Like, they're like, oh, this is going to be fucking awesome. Because you look at the mechanic... you look at the card spoiled, and you're like, and it just seems awesome, but like you don't look at it objectively. And I didn't really have the people around me before to look at it objectively. Like I'd be like, Daniel, what do you think of this? He's like, I don't know, I think it's stupid. Like, and I'm like, oh, I don't know, you're crazy because this seems fucking awesome. But you know, as I've gotten to make more friends and have other opinions, and also get into this more myself, you start looking at shit like this objectively. This would have been a card, fucking 8-9 months ago, where I would have been fucking stoked. I had a pre-order.
You'd be pre-ordering, right?
Yeah, I'd be pre-ordering them. I'm like, oh, it's going to be awesome. It's going to be the end of fucking all of everything. And I had a Twitter conversation with somebody about this card where, I had to put it. I was like, I don't really like it. Like, I could see the mechanic being on something else, but, and I had my things with it. It's like, the body's too weak. At 3, it's so susceptible to being removed. Like, even if you could get it out.
The other, like look at the Restoration Angel. It kills
exactly.
It. So, like, why is that? Why couldn't it have been a 4-5? Like, it seems like so. It's not, it can't even be Restoration Angel. Like, oh, fuck.
Exactly.
And Boros and Green White Humans, their number one problem is when you go and attack and the guy's holding 4 mana up, you better have a trick. Because he's restoring your ass. And you
exactly what I'm getting at is these are all the things that, like, a lot of this, my side of this podcast is, like, coming from a newer player. And I've started to pick up on a lot more of this shit. This is, this is, like, amazing fucking advice. One of the things I wish I would have picked up on earlier is looking at shit like this objectively, looking at the downsides to everything.
Now, that's not to say that everyone loves to hate. When you get a little good, you get, this whole bravado of, well, every card is shit, blah, blah, blah.
That's the difference between being a douchebag.
Yeah, exactly. So,
you have to look at, this is the way I've started
taking
cards, is how would I attack, or how would I deal with that card coming from the other side? Not like how would I play with that card, it's how would I deal with that card. If I saw it on the other side of the table, is how I've started looking at evaluating cards, and it's done wonders for me. It's saved me so much money from pre-ordering shit that I don't need, or ordering shit I don't need. It's not like the best of all situations. It's like, well, what if you had this on the board, and what if you had this on the board, and what if you had, and then you were able to just have the right mana to get this out? It's gonna be fucking sick. Yeah, but that's never gonna fucking happen because
get
all the other fucking magical Christmas.
Mm-hmm. So, you said a very good point. Like, you have to realize you don't want to be negative, right? Because, once you get bitter and, go on Twitter, everyone bashes every card. But
you should stop playing a kid's card game.
Well, that's right. Like, and I like playing, I will maybe get upset about a card because, if I'm looking at the card for standard playability, then of course I'm upset because I'm like, it's not standard playable and I wanted it to be. But I do want to play with every card because I don't just play standard Magic, which, in my opinion, if you're going to enter this game, you should be open to play every format because every card is playable, it's just not in every format. So if you want to enjoy the full game, play all the formats, man. And then you'd be surprised how fun some cards are garbage and standard that you never want to see. But you're playing limited, or you're playing Guild Wars, or you're playing...
Or you're playing modern. Look, yeah. I'm the poster child for this. Yeah, I am the poster child for fucking, you know, suck it up and play other formats. Except
you know what I'm going to do? I'm gonna mock up a milk carton that says standard milk, and then I'm going to put your poster on the back missing. Where's Kevy gone? He was
Where's
here.
Kevy gone? You know, I just spent a bunch more money on fucking, like, I think I bought, like, in treats, and I bought, like, I mean, the Chandra's didn't cost me anything, but, like, that deck that I was playing, the standard deck that I'm currently playing when I was playing standard was, like, the in treats, and I started buying back bonfires and shit like that. Spent a bunch of money on that. I'm like, man, this is stupid. Fuck standard. So then I went and spent a bunch more money on a fucking modern deck. But I did learn from my mistake last time when I said, man, fuck standard. This is stupid. I didn't sell all my cards. I still have them all. I just went playing modern.
Here's the thing, people. Like, what I'm going to tell Kevy to do is when Innistrad is going to be rotating next year, right, just before it rotates, or just before when the new set comes in, or just after it rotates, I'm going to tell Kevy, go pick up all the rares for dirt. Go pick up the mythics. I don't, you know, maybe it's going to cost you $80. Go pick them all up, because then they're in your collection. You paid dirt for them, and now you got them. So whenever we want to play, exactly, got them. And that's what you do. So, you know, when standard is fresh, that's when, you know, they're asking the most money. So pick a wedge, like we said, or pick a deck, and try not to go crazy. That's the idea. You know, look at cards here and there, watch the metagame, but, you know, as the formats exit...
You learn as you go, and like, we've talked a lot about this, and Maddie, you're getting way better at this than I am, but, like, you know, you have to pick up on these trends, and what, like, a perfect example of that, I was just looking at recently, and I wish that you and I would have done, you know, got into this just a couple months sooner, because we'd be at the point we are now. A couple months ago, I just recently started looking at, you know, maybe not even a month ago, I was like, oh man, I need to go buy up the Shocklands,
yes,
that are coming in Gatecrash. I need to go buy up the old ones, because those are sitting around fucking doing, you know, nobody's been doing shit with them forever. Those are fucking sitting around, and I went and I looked them up. I'm like, oh, they're just as expensive as the Shocklands.
Yeah, that are, nice,
you,
try.
You know, when they came out. And that's something that I could have jumped on that earlier. You know, I mean, should have realized that. Well, fuck. When they were bringing the Shocklands back, when they announced, like, you know, hey, the Return of Ravnica is coming out, and, like, all the spoilers were coming out from that. Mm-hmm. If we were smarter, we'd have gone and grabbed okay, well, these are the five that are coming out in fucking Return to Ravnica. Go get the other five that are going to be coming out in Gatecrash.
Well, no, because that's not my play, because they were still very expensive. Like, if you look online, they're still $20. Like,
right, they are now, but were they still that expensive back then?
Oh yeah, oh yeah. It's modern season, right? Yeah. See, don't listen to Kevy. That would have been a bad move. Like, the idea with the lands are, because this is a reprint run, they're all the prices for the Gatecrash lands are high, because people like Kevy, this is what the people are trying to do, right? They're trying to get you to buy in. Don't buy them. Don't buy any of the Gatecrash lands yet. Just wait, and I guarantee you, just like Ravnica lands, they will be $3 to $4 in about a month and a half, 2 months, and then buy them then. Like, there's no rush. There's no rush. You know, like, just play regular lands.
Well, and unless you want to
an extra $50, it's up to you, man.
Speaking of that, look at the Innistrad lands. How cheap those were for a while.
Well, they're still pretty cheap. I mean, they've gone on a weird ride.
Well, they were a hell of a lot cheaper. Like, during fucking, like, you know, like, AVR period, those things were junk. Like, nobody fucking cared. Well,
they were... Okay, so the truth is, I watched those very carefully, because I was trying to predict the bottom on them. And they were... let's see. They were around $1 to $3.
Right.
For some of the lands. And then, of course, like, certain lands, the green-black land when zombies, that spiked up to $6 or $7. And now it's back down to $3. But they're a weird... For some reason, they're just... They should be a lot more than they are, but they're not. So maybe...
Correct me if I'm wrong, but those are, like... Those duels are... aren't those, like, pretty much the only time some of those were printed? Like, for...
Yeah.
Like,
well,
they were the enemy color?
Yeah, they're the enemy color slow... Or I don't know what they call them. Buddy lands, I guess, is the term, right? So if you have one of the Swamper planes, it's the...
Right.
It comes. So... I don't know. I mean, I still think those are great lands for any deck. Like, right. if you look, just look at Modern and Legacy. Like, what lands are they playing? I'm telling you, man. This is what I'm saying. Like, right now, say it again. Hold on. I'll say it again right now. So, Scar's fast lands are under attack. Buy those now, people. I'm telling you. Modern Masters is coming.
Which sucks because the Scar's fast lands don't have a red-black fast land. Oh, wait. No, they do. I have those in my deck. Never mind.
and I bought them. I bought the black and red ones when they were 20 cents. No,
there's another one I was just looking at recently. I can't remember. Fuck, now I can't remember what it is. There's a color combination I was just looking at for those, and I don't think they...
There's a. Anyways, let's do our last one. So this is the Orzhov spoiler, which is Treasury Thrall. So again, it's a 6-mana guy, which of course 4 white black. He's a thrall. He's a 4/4. Not very impressive. And here we go. So the mechanic for the Orzhov is extort. So whenever you cast a spell, you may pay black or white. If you do, each opponent loses one life and you gain one life. So kind of like a Blood Artist effect.
Blood Artist. Mana.
Yeah. Now, hold on. Now, the second part of this card is what I think is more important. Whenever this Thrall attacks, you may return target artifact, creature, or enchantment from your graveyard to your hand. So it's kind of like a Sun Titan effect, which actually is most value. That's where I see this card being value. It's still 6 mana for 4, and it does this. I don't see this on turn 7 doing anything that amazing, but you never know. Now, do I think the extort mechanic is good? Oh, man, I got to tell you, people.
Is it? Now, I haven't seen this play over there. Like,
hold on. So extort is essentially whenever I cast a spell, I can spend one more mana to make you lose one life, and I gain one life.
Right, but what I'm asking is that a repeatable, like, can you...
No. Okay. Listen to how it's worded. Whenever you cast a spell, you may pay one. So if you cast one spell, then you can pay
two. I see.
If you cast two spells, then you can pay two and do it. So here's what sucks about that. If you look at how a curve goes, right? So one drop, two drop, three drop, four drop.
Right.
Where the hell is my curve? Am I going to have an extra mana? Why would I not be just playing a better card? So the way that would work would be, let's say I had a 2-mana card or a 2-mana extort creature, let's say, and then I didn't do anything on my third turn, and then on your turn I cast some removal spell and I got another mana open to suck you for one and gain one. Like,
yeah.
At the end of the day, I just don't see this doing anything remotely interesting to win the game. Like, Sphinx of Revelation, they could care less about this. Like, so again, we're not going to bash the card totally, but we're going to say in standard applications,
it doesn't have it.
The entire mechanic, though, if that's what it is garbage. Like, it's probably the worst mechanic.
No, that's what I'm saying. Like, if it were an ability where you could tap it multiple times for each, like,
it was like a colon where it was like whenever you cast a spell, pay any amount of mana, that's different.
Yeah, that's a whole different story. That would make this thing fucking awesome.
Yeah, no.
That's a Blood Artist on a stick.
Yeah, that's better than a Blood Artist. Like, if that was the mechanic, I would be all in on this thing because that is how you would win. Like, what does black-white typically do? It stalls the game until it can go over your head. So you could play a black-white stall sweeper deck, and then your win condition is just do you have enough mana to just boom, suck him dry. Like, that's interesting. I just don't think, like, I think they pulled this one back a little too far and they could have pushed it.
Yeah.
Now, I do think, though, we saw that black and white sweeper card that also attacked your hand as a teaser. Or it wasn't a teaser, it was like a rumor card. If that's true, it is the best sweeper I've ever seen. And
I know nothing about this.
Okay, so there was this... go on to MTG Salvation and look for this black-white sweeper card. I'll try to find it, put it in the show notes for you. But essentially what it was is, it's a 4-mana Supreme Verdict, but instead of blue, it's black and white. And what it did is, it not only swept the board, but it killed your hand. So if I did it, show me your hand, and I get to remove something from your hand.
Okay.
So at 4 mana, it not only sweeps your board, but takes you down. Brutal.
Yeah,
so I could see that they purposely gave Orzhov better powerful cards and then made their mechanics shittier to balance them. And if that's true, then Standard will be shaped by Orzhov. Because no one's going to care about the extort mechanic, but they're going to care about all these incredibly, incredibly powerful spells.
Right.
So that's kind of my take initially, the way I see Orzhov. I don't think their mechanic is that interesting.
No.
But I don't know. I'm loving the spells. If they come true, they would be amazing.
If they come true.
Yeah, you never know. I mean, what was it? Four or five of the mythics got spoiled. So, yeah. On Salvation, so we got four or five more, so you never know. We got Gideon. God damn. I hope to God they spoil Gideon soon.
Yes, I'd like to see that.
If it is a red-white Gideon, dude, red-white humans with Gideon. Gone. Oh, dude, I don't even care. I will just play all Boros cards.
No, and that's what's going to suck. Like, knowing our luck, like, you know, it's been rumored that Gideon's going to be red and white. And, like,
I have no problem.
And, you know, that's what I'm saying. It would be so awesome, but, like, I have this feeling that, like, it's going to come true, and then he's just going to be awful. Like, his abilities are going to be fucking trash. That's Wizards making you feel uncomfortable.
No. Okay, so here's the thing. We got Darmy spoiled, right? And he's that green red dude. And he's very mediocre. He reminds me of a Johnson.
Which actually is one thing that makes me wonder that if they would actually go as far as to make Gideon red and white, because it seems like if you're going to have two planeswalkers in the set, and both of them are red or have red in their mana cost, I don't see it happening. But I
actually maybe agree with that, and we do know that. Look, with Jace, everyone thought Jace was going to be white blue, and maybe they do make Gideon just white. I don't care. I used to say I really wanted him red white just for the.
You're going
to
make him white black. He's going to be an Orzhov.
He's not. He's already his pitcher. The pitcher they spoiled is already fucking it. But you know, you do bring up a point, because we have the Ral Zarek in Dragon's Mace. We know he's coming, and we know he's blue red. Because he's a fucking Izzet.
That dude's awesome. Fucking sleeve tattooed on his arm.
Oh, dude. But maybe you're right, because then that would be Darmy, Gideon, and Ral all red. I think you're right. I don't think he'll be red.
Yeah, I hadn't really put too much thought into it. I was like, oh, that'd be cool, Gideon, red and white. But it's just kind of all forming together in my brain.
All I can say with Gideon is, please don't make him double white. Make him 4-1 white.
Yeah.
God, and then if he's splashable like that, that's brutal. Actually, you know what? I don't think they'll do that, because it would be so splashable then in this format.
Yeah.
Like, my goodness, right? Like, if it's good, it's just going to destroy people.
He'll be white, red, and black, and one.
Yeah. He'll be a Nephilim, or whatever that
is. Yeah, no shit.
Oh, please. Did you see those Nephilim cards?
Yeah, I saw, somebody.
Don't make them. Okay, so if anyone go to Zerb or Z's proxy card site, and he has some mock-ups of what he thinks they're gonna look like. Not art, but just they're horrible. Like, I hope the
guy Salvation, I think it was,
Yeah. And then Z did them up, but I just hope they don't make Nephilims, because they're horrible. They're just horribly stupid cards. Anything else, please, with it. Anyway, so We got some pretty funny Twitter comments here that people are asking.
Yes, I've been getting fucking tweets this whole time we've been recording. We've got all sorts of questions coming in. I gotta actually go back through them. Go ahead.
So here's one. So good old Ruckus here, the Ruckus. He says clans on Modo. He goes, I don't know what they are. Tell me about them. And I'm like, well, I'll tell you what. I didn't know very much about clans at all either. In fact, I know so little about clans that when we started the show, it was Kevy that started the heavy meta clan before I even knew what the fuck clans were. And he's like, hey, man, why aren't you in the clan? And I'm like, what clan? We have a clan? So when all those people ask to join the clan, it's not me. Don't yell at me that I haven't accepted you. It's this guy.
Yeah. No, I didn't realize it was going to be – I was just like, oh, they got these clan things on Modo, and I have no idea what they do. All I know is, every time you log into Modo, that first homepage that comes up, it's top five clans, and it's been the top five clans since, limited resources on there, and OSIP drives me to school, and there's these five clans that have been on there the whole time, and I was like, I don't get this. I remember a while back, fucking Jeebus was just like, join my clan, it's Dr. Jeebus and the Magdalens. I was like, whatever, all right. So I joined his clan, and then I asked him, I'm like, so what do clans do? And he's just like, they used to do stuff, but honestly, now nothing. Right. This is just me feeding my ego.
So from what I know, because I've been on the beta and I've been hearing some talk, I hope I'm not going to get in trouble for this, but I've been hearing talk, I think it's public knowledge, that leagues are high on the beta's list of being brought back in. Now, if leagues come back in, then clans are going to be relevant.
Relevant again?
Yeah, because currently right now, clans are just a buddy list. That's really what it is? You don't do
No, that's what it comes down to. Like, I have my buddy list that is just full of, you know, it's got bots that I have, like, because I just fucking, anytime I have credit on a bot, you know, I save them as a friend because I'm like, well, I might as well, I'm never going to find them again unless they're on my buddy list. So my buddy list is just full of random ass shit or, like, somebody I'll be playing against and I'm like, ah, this person's pretty cool. Maybe I'll remember him later on when I'm not drunk. But, like, the clan is rad because it's fucking, you know, you join our fucking heavy meta clan and it's, you know, all of us. And so, like, I can go on and click on to my clan, and it's got all of you guys, and it tells me who's online.
Right.
And now, it's more like a close buddy list instead of a random.
But now, here's some... People don't realize what you can do. So, with a clan, when you make a game... So, for instance, like, what we've done with Commander games, because we've got Durf and Norbs in our clan, what we can do is we can say, make a new Commander game, and we can say, invite only people in our clan, or make it visible to only people in our clan. Right. And that way, the game is found... very easily if you sort.
Right, they can go up to the top and they can just go, like, they can look for games that are just in their clan, It's like, we're the only one that pops up. And
so there's that kind of useful,
yeah, there
I
are
guess.
Benefits.
If there was, like, an ability, I'm not sure the current client has this ability, but it would be really neat if you could, like, message your clan members and say, hey,
I actually tried that last night. I don't know if it worked or not, because I clicked on my clan.
Okay.
And it had everybody listed, and I think, like, Ben Clinton and fucking somebody else were, like, the only two that were online in the clan. And I wrote, because, like, up above the clan, it's got the little window at the bottom, it's got a chat bar, and then a big blank fucking spot. So it's just all, what's up, motherfuckers? And I never got any, like, response.
Because people are like, shut up.
But, like, yeah, shut up, Kevin. But, no, like, he, like, one the other dude, I forget who the other one was, but, like, he left, like, shortly after that, and then, like, Ben Clinton never wrote me back, but then I don't know if he ever even looked over to see, because I don't know how many times people have written me in chats, unless it pops up in a fucking bar in the middle of my game.
No, so when you write in there, it's
but
like...
I think you can just write shit to the clan.
You can, right. So when you write in there, that's like the message that appears on everyone's home screen in that box. So that's not the same. What I was hoping is, you know, when you message someone where it, like, pops open in a window, that's what I was hoping you could do where it's like, hey, boom. And, say, hey, Heavy Meta Clan, starting in 20 minutes. So anyways, right. Maybe for the beta worth, that'd be so cool if we could.
Oh, which is another thing. Speaking of that real quick, I was just thinking of this. You brought something up earlier in the episode. Kind of reminded me of this. We were talking, I think it was with Ferret a couple episodes ago, and he was talking about, like, player run events.
Yeah, there is those.
That's something that I'd like to look into. I don't know if any of you guys know anything about that shit. Obviously, Ferret probably does, so fucking, if you're Ferret or if you're anybody else that knows anything about that, get at us, because I'd like to actually, you know, throw together some, like, heavy meta clan, like, you know, player run events. Like, we can have just, like, fucking funsies tournaments.
Well, Robot Large wanted to do, a popper tournament. Mm-hmm. So I think the way that, and I think I played in one.
Mm-hmm.
So what it works is you join the clan, but it's all run by somebody. So it's not, like, automated or anything. So what you do is you're like, I'm gonna enter a 16 person tournament, and then someone would just say, you 16, you're in this tournament, and then they would just keep score of all the rounds instead of Moto doing it for you. And then some stores, like, I don't remember the stores, but I know some of the bots have posted them, and, you know, they give away a prize.
So it's basically just doing it manually. Like, you're
it's like your prize.
You enter rounds, you do it manually, and then you. Yeah, okay.
Is it work?
It seems like a lot of work, but it seems like something we could have some fun doing. If I'm not mistaken, Robot Large is a tournament organizer, right?
Yeah, so he's smart. So obviously he's
smart. He's going to have to do this.
Well, no, I told him, I'm like, dude, if you want to do it, I'm down, but I ain't organizing this shit.
Yeah, I would love to, like, be able to do something like that, like, you know, here in the near future, not like, hey, eventually on one episode we'll talk about this. No, I'd like to be able to do something where we can put together, like, you know, just a straight up tournament.
But well, what I'm thinking is, when Gatecrash is out and everybody's got their cards, and hopefully, I mean, those that want to play Guild Wars will have all 10 decks. We should do a 10 round, 10 person elimination, you know, death match, where it's like, we just pick 10 members, and we could fire, you know, if more than 10 people want to play, we can do it 20 times, right? Like, but we could pick 10 people, they each pick a guild, and we just do death matches, and we see,
randomly assigned a guild.
Yeah, okay, there you go. Well, exactly, good. So we'll do a dice. We'll randomly assign a guild, and then we see who can come out on top after five rounds. I think that would be badass.
That'd be cool as shit. That'd be a lot of fun.
So we'll definitely, Robot Large, if you want your different avatar.
You better fucking work for it. You're going to have to organize tournaments. You know what's going to be funny? And I'm not saying, I mean, we got plenty of other people that are fucking really trying.
We haven't chosen yet.
We have not chosen. We've got, you know, it's not just going to automatically go to somebody. Like, we got some fucking, you know, some fans out there that have really been fucking pushing for this shit. Oh, I mean, getting tweets left and right. We've been getting. Did you see how many fucking comments were on the last
six episode? Comments on our last episode?
Ridiculous. Part of those, I will, in all fairness, say part of those were like, it was like a Twitter conversation.
You know what the sad thing is? Probably 49 of those comments are me and you.
Back and forth. But no, like, there's some people in the fucking running, but it would crack me up to no end if fucking Robot Large wins the DERF competition, and then DERF draws him up, and it's the same fucking avatar. It's just a big robot with a crane for a dick, but just on in DERF style.
Actually, you know what? DERF traced that. I want DERF to trace it, so it's not even his style, it's just a trace.
Yeah.
His current avatar, just to be total jackasses.
We'll pick a real winner, and then Robot Large will be like, oh, dude, you got the fucking consolation prize. It's just your avatar now, but just traced out by DERF, so it looks a little more DERFish. It's got the same coloring and the same, like, exactly. Looking.
Now, did you see what happened? I don't know if Sub Stevie is correct or not, but did you see a tree hit his car?
Yes. Oh, my God. I felt so bad. Dude,
is that his car?
I don't know how we don't give him the damn
avatar.
No shit, he needs it. He's like, oh, dude, this is fucking terrible. Like, man, this sucks. A tree fell in my car. I'm going to Hulk that shit off the top. And I was like, oh, well, like, he seems in good spirits about it. Like, and so, like, I click on it. I look at the fucking picture, and there's literally a fucking tree branch that's, like, the size of my fucking thigh. And the thing's going to be at least, like, 6 feet long. Just laying across the top of the roof of his fucking, what, he's got like a Subaru Impreza or something.
Impreza,
like,
I would kill someone.
Dude, I would
not tweet my happy message.
Yeah, the only thing I could think is, I was like, that motherfucker has got awesome insurance, so he's just smiling. Just like,
he's getting whatever, Subaru.
He needed a fucking paint job anyway, and I've got a Mercedes parked next to it. So,
that was brutal. I got to say, that was crushing. Yeah, I hate seeing cars destroyed.
Speaking of him, that was awesome. I'm happy that we got fucking Sub Stevie some followers.
Yeah, we doubled his followers, man. That had to affect.
Fucking 6 to 12.
6 to 12. That's what I'm gonna put that. We can double 200% your followers. Yeah. That's all I've been getting today is like fucking spam on my Twitter account. God damn it. Get out of here, spammers. So another question somebody hit in is
we got lots of Twitter questions, so this is gonna take us like 3 hours to get through.
Well, we're not gonna read them all. We'll read some of them. So so here's an interesting one, and you've got a young kid, so this is actually very interesting. So good old Michael Mersala, Ginger Italian, says, I want to know, since we're both dads, what's the appropriate age to teach your child MTG? Well, so I've got 5 and 7-year-old girls. They've been holding magic cards since they were like 2. Like literally running around chewing magic cards.
Yeah.
When they're babies,
that's,
right?
Mine's a year and a half old, and I believe that about 6 months ago was the proper age to start them off. Which I started handing him token cards.
Yes.
And he loves them, like, because he's dad playing with them, and he loves them. And then you gradually, which, I mean, like, you gradually work him into it. Like, obviously, he can't fucking play Magic or anything, but, you know, he's having a blast. He chews on them and throws them on the floor. Now he doesn't chew on them anymore. I give them to him, and he fucking runs around with them, and he plays with them.
Now, here's a story that I'll tell you, because this is how a dad has to, if you want, you know, if you're enthusiastic about something, then you have to be very careful about how you bring your child into it, because they'll either hate you because you're forcing it on them,
right?
Or if you make it look so attractive, they come to it, which is what you want to do, right? So with my kids,
you don't want to put a 60-card deck in a sock and beat them with it.
Yeah, that's
because then they're probably not going to like Magic.
magic cards.
Yeah. Oh, no, Daddy, don't put the cards in the song again. You're going to bonfire your ass, son.
Yeah.
No. But no, the fuck.
Bonfires! Bonfires!
What are you scared of most? I'm scared of the magic cards.
I'm scared of bonfires. That's good, because that card is awesome. You don't want to see your opponent drop it. Now, remember that, boy.
Oh my god, that's horrible. So like, I used to give my kids, you know, of course they're girls, so I don't want to show them, like, horrible scary cards, because then they'll be like, ha! So they have, like, a huge collection of, like, ponies and the angels and all kinds of nice shit. And, right. But, you know, like, when they were really young, I got them a box, and they would just run around, take the cards, throw them on the floor, look through them, put them in a box. That's the extent for a couple of years, like, from 2 to 3, 4, you know? And then they would watch me play, and they were like, I really want to play. And I'm like, well, you know, you got to learn the cards. So they'd watch me play MTGO. They'd watch me, you know, they'd sit with me and watch tournaments. And they, you know, like, who are we rooting for, Dad? I'm like, we're rooting for this guy. And so I've let them determine when they want to play. But then the trick is, when they want to play, you got to stop whatever you're doing. Take the time to then teach them. And that's where I found it very interesting. Like, we were talking last episode.
Right.
Even if you pick the basic M set cards, there's something that's just not, it is so complex for, like, a young mind to grasp initially, and I just wish there was a bridge product where it was just friendlier looking cards, that they would be more, you know, intuitive to do with, maybe, or there was an easier system about teaching mana. But, like, that was the hardest thing. Like, the cards itself, they understand attack and they understand blocking, right, very, very quickly. I think they understood that. But it was the whole, like, how much is mana and what does it cost? And that was kind of difficult, but that's math, right? So, you know, what is the appropriate age? Can your kid do simple math? Because if you can't do simple math, you can't calculate combat damage or summon creatures. And I think
which is why I play aggro decks. I'm fucking I can't do simple math, so I just play aggro decks.
Or you play robots and everything costs zero. You just drop.
Yeah, there you go.
To do that. But yeah, so I think the appropriate age is in around 4, 5, 6. I mean,
I'd say the official answer is the appropriate age is right after you introduce them to Star Wars.
Oh man, no! My kids were just Star Wars. They were watching Star Wars when they were babies, sucking on mom's titties, man, just watching.
Yeah, you know? Yeah, right. Like, I'd say a good a couple months after you buy them their first lightsaber, then you start teaching them magic.
Lightsaber, yeah, you got to give them a lightsaber.
Any self-respecting nerd buys his kid a lightsaber and then starts teaching him magic.
Yeah, that's the thing, people. It's all about handing it down to the next generation. You know, someone asked me over the break, I was at someone's house, and they were like, well, you know, they listened to the episode, and they were like, you guys are talking about the death of magic and paper, and I'm like, no, we're not. You know,
in all fairness, I was, because I think at one episode I was drunk, and what was even better is I was screaming at the fucking audience about how, you know, magic is over, the death of paper, and then I had to go, I was drunk then, and then I had to go cast with fucking Jeebus and Tangent, and now, instead of us just laughing about it and, like, realizing I'm all, yeah, man, magic, it's gonna fall off, it's gonna be all digital, and we just have a good time with it, then I've got Jeebus arguing with me about it.
Oh, that's, see, well, if you want to hear part two of that conversation, go download Public Enemies.
Yeah, if you want to hear part two of the conversation, you gotta listen to
Jeebus rips him a new asshole.
Jeebus is like, you're an idiot. Shut up. And then, stop it.
I can't argue with that.
I can't even fucking argue with you. Like, you're not even making sense. I'm like, whatever. You want me to argue your side of it? I'm really good at debating. I'll just fucking jump on your side. You argue the other side. I honestly don't think the paper game is going to die, like, in the next, like, 6 months or anything.
We were making an extreme point to show that, obviously, the future's digital. So, one guy was talking to me about it, and he was like, well, you know, what do you think is going to be? Is it going to be digital that's going to cause the death of paper? And you know what I said? I said, watching my kids play Magic, that's the real thing right there. If the next generation doesn't pick the game up, right, that's going to kill it. So teach your kids. Like, I think that really kind of struck home, like, this break. Like, you know, the next generation. Like, you know, we had a bunch of people over, and I was opening up my boxes, and I'm like, take them, man. Just, you know, like, guys were seeing us play Guild Wars, and they're like, this is amazing. Can I have your Guild Wars cards? And I'm like, no, you can't. That is my box. You cannot have that. I will give you, let's go get the other boxes, and I'll throw you some cards, and I'll give you some decks to take home. But I'm really trying to encourage more people to play. So I think.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. That's one thing I've gotten into lately too. But whether it be fucking our followers and our fans on online, or, you know, again, with, you know, the couple guys I've actually started to get into our group lately to play Paper, and then, like, they've got some friends that are starting to get interested in it. It's like, well, the more people you can get to play.
Yeah, yes, you alone have probably gotten 3 or 4 more people in. I've probably gotten 5 or 6 people just that I know playing Guild Wars on the weekends for fun. Have gone to stores and purchased cards. So, you know, the one thing I like to tell people, or I guess this is like what heavy meta's secondary cause is besides getting drunk and having fun and talking about Magic cards, is like get more people drunk and talking about cards and playing Magic,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly. Like, get them drunk with you and play Magic.
Exactly. And then you can say, give me your credit card and let's go buy some cards.
And since I got you into this, I think I'm entitled to a commission, and then you start taking cards out of their collection.
No, don't do that. But, you know, we really want to try and, like, at any chance we can, help other people get into the game. Don't be the asshole. Be the guy that gets people into the game, and the game will grow, man. And
honestly, you know what I think my biggest draw to Magic has been in this, like, getting, like, more people into playing with us? Because not only are there, like, our regulars here in town, like, you know, the four of us that have been playing lately together, but then there's also, like, Daniel's got some other friends that used to play Magic in high school, and they'll come into town, like, they live out of town now, but they'll come into town for holidays and shit, and they'll come over and they'll play, and I've started to get them more into this. Fucking Anti-League.
Anti-League, okay.
That's how you suck people into Magic.
Okay, can I tell you? Hold on. Holy shit, thank you, thank you, thank you. So I played my first game of Anti-League.
Did you?
Yes. Oh, okay, so I know. It was pretty, okay, so we played it late at night, and we were all smashed in our fucking minds. I didn't even know how this happened.
Play Anti-League.
Okay, so wait. Okay, so I was over at my buddy's house. Okay, listen to how funny this is. This is, okay, so this is one of these guys that several months ago I got into Magic. So he asked his wife to buy him some Magic cards. So she bought him a bunch of cards and put them under the tree. Now, this is Christmas Eve, okay? Right. I'm at the guy's house. Wife and kids have gone to bed, okay? And we're, like, in the basement, okay? And there's 4 of us, and we're playing. And we're all joking about Anti-League, and he's like, but I don't have any decks. We don't have any cards. No one has cards. We didn't bring cards, and we're all like, ah, man, we can't go to a store. There's nothing open. And he's like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to just – I know my wife bought me some packs. And we're like, she did? And we didn't know that they were his Christmas present. So he comes downstairs with a wrapping, like a box. He's ripping it open. He's like, yeah, let's go. And no one asked the question, like, where the cards came from. We were just so tired. We're just blitzed.
Yeah, like, you're like, fuck it. You got Magic cards right on.
And he's like, here's 3 packs of Return to Magic for you. Here's 3 for you. Here's 3 for you. And we ripped them open and we played. And it was hilarious. It was funny that shit, right? Awesome. And No, here's the best. So everyone draws dicks and, like, cunts, and, like, it was horrible. Like, it was bad. It was dirty, dirty shit, right? And anyway, so we go home. So the next day, I'm like, hey, man, what's up? And he's like, I'm grounded. And I'm like, what happened? He's like, man,
I opened up my Christmas present, your dick's
all over. No. So the way he told it was the best. I'll have to bring him on. So the way he told it, he goes, okay, so I'm hungover. It's Christmas morning. The kid is screaming, right? And the wife's going through all the presents. And he's like, I'm just sitting there drinking a coffee, trying not to pass out, okay? And the wife's like, where's your present? And she's looking, and then he's like, slowly but surely, the thought came crystal clear in my head that I had just opened my wife's present last night that she had bought for me, and I had raped it.
Started handing them out to fucking random friends.
No. But wait. This is awesome, and this is where Anti-League is bad. So she's like, "Did you open your present? What happened?" And he's like, "Oh yeah, I guess we did." And she gets furious. Okay, and she's like, "Oh well, at least you had fun, right?" And so she kind of blows it up. She's like, "Okay, whatever." Right. So the day goes on. He gets a scream, but in the afternoon, I won't even say his name because I don't want to get him in trouble. He's like,
yeah, you almost did.
He's like, get down here. And he's like, what? What's happened? Is something broken? She's holding the cards up. And she's like, you're telling me you ripped open the present I bought for you and drew penises and vaginas all over them and crude sinks? Is this what this game is about? And she reams his ass out. So now he is, not only did I get him into Magic, but he is now banned from Magic.
He's banned from Magic.
His wife has banned him from Magic until further notice. So I'm sorry, but Jay Boosh, Anti-League is dangerous. You have to know when to
play. You have to know when to play it.
But it was fun. It was awesome.
We've had the opposite fucking experience. Like, we've been having nothing but fucking awesome fun with it. Like, we've tried – one thing, like, Jay wrote in his article about Anti-League is, like, you know, here's a fucking basic set of guidelines is kind of how it goes. But, I mean, in your play group, you just kind of do, you know, adapt and do what you want to. Like, you know, the way we play, you know, is a little different. Like, basically, it's, you know, you cut the deck, you pull, like, we decided, like, two cards is probably good. Cause, like, we don't have a big league to play with, it's just us. So it's like, you know, instead of just doing one card at a time or whatever, it's like, you're playing a fucking match, you cut the deck twice, and you pull two cards out of it, face down. And that's another thing that, like, I love about, like, our version of Anti-League is, you cut the cards and you pull a card, or you cut them, pull a card out, cut them again, pull a card out, and those cards stay face down. So you don't know
that's the way we played.
Right. They do their cards face up. You know what you're playing for. But honestly, to me, that feel like that totally changes shit. Like, exactly. If you've got shit that you're willing to get rid of, you can just throw the game. And you're gonna do it, whether exactly. You mean to do it or not, you're going to do it subconsciously. Yep. If your fucking bomb is there, you're going to play your ass off. But also, you don't know what you're playing without. And it just brings so much more suspense to the game. And so, we've tried playing, like, me and Daniel started playing Anti-League. I was like, dude, we got to try this. It'll be fun. So we started doing it. You're supposed to have, like, three different packs, but our local game store only sells fucking, like, five different packs. Like, the five most current fucking packs, the shit that's in standard. They don't sell, like, old packs and stuff. Like, I'd like to have my Anti-League have, like, a fucking all-foil shards pack and shit in it, but, like, you know, we basically just go down to the fucking local game store, we get our fucking packs, you know, like...
Yeah, just fun.
Mine had... And it's so random. You got, like, my Anti-League deck right now, I actually pulled pretty fucking good. I got a Dross Messenger in one of the packs, and I got a Zealous Conscript in the other pack. Now, those are both fucking great cards, except Dross Messenger is fucking terrible in Anti-League.
You can't cast it.
Three black. I've cast him once. You know, Zealous Conscripts, on the other hand, is a fucking bomb.
Yeah.
You know, we started playing, you know, just Daniel and I back and forth. So then, you know, Josh and Rob come over and we're like, oh, dude, you gotta fucking check out Anti-League. So we were playing a game and they were watching. The next time they came over, they brought their packs, they cracked them open, and what was funny is actually, fucking Rob, like, or sorry, Josh is like this ridiculous fucking mythic magnet like I used to be. This motherfucker goes and he buys three packs, right? He opens three mythics in three packs.
I hate him.
One of them,
I hate him already.
One of them is, he opens a fucking Angel of Serenity.
Oh, what? In Anti-League? That's brutal.
No, wait, hold on. I might be wrong about that. No, that's right. He opens Angel of Serenity and he's like, I gotta go get another fucking pack. And so Daniel's like, all right, fuck it. Let's go to Walmart. We'll go get another fucking pack. Cause they're like, you know, he's like, oh, I don't want to fucking. So then he goes and he buys another fucking pack and he gets an AVR pack and he opens and treat the angels. Daniel's like, are you fucking kidding me?
And so
he fucking, like, he ends up, like, Daniel, like, buys him another pack for the Entreat the Angels. He's like, all right, you can have the Entreat the Angels. I'll buy you your other pack, which, I mean, that's a fucking hell of a steal. Yeah. And, I mean, I could be fucking the story up a little bit. I don't remember exactly. Maybe the Angel of Serenity came second or something. But the dude pulled, like, fucking three mythics, then gets a fourth mythic, and I know that fucking Angel of Serenity and Entreat the Angels were in both of these. Now, these were fucking ridiculous bombs. And then, you know what? You also might open up the fucking, like, you're all, oh, cool, I got three garbage fucking rares. Like, I got Malignus, and I got fucking whatever.
Oh, that's the worst.
So it makes it fun. Like, it's so random and so out of hand. And so we started playing. You know, they jumped in. They started playing. So we tried playing a couple of multiplayer games. Because, you know, when we all get together, we tried doing that. And actually, that doesn't work very well. It's like, I mean, the format is so fucking weird and spread out anyway that, like, playing multiplayer is awful in Anti-League. So we played, like, two games like that where all this is garbage. So what we started doing, I got this, you know, my fucking big, huge square coffee table that we all fucking play on when we're all sitting in the living room. We're like, you know, let's try this. And this has worked out so well. It cracks me up how well it actually worked out. Let's fucking, we'll roll our fucking D20s and you know, see, you know, high and low plays against each other, and then the middles play against each other, and we literally sit at the same fucking table and we play the person across from us.
Oh, that's
and
there's a good idea.
There's four fucking, or there's so two games going on at once. But yeah. And I was like, well, let's see if this actually works, because it seems like it could get
really. That's a great idea.
But it's so funny because you're like playing across from each other. And you're so, you know, you're focused on your game, and it's not distracting at all. But it's like when, you know, you play your turn, you know, it's anti-league, so you're playing fucking land.
Yeah, yeah,
and go. Nothing, land. Then a land. Then go. And so, like, he's sitting there trying to figure out what he's doing, and you're watching what those two are doing. And you're just like,
That's a great idea, dude.
So much
Very
fun.
Very good idea.
We landed on this, and then they're like, oh, well, we were talking to our buddy, and he's been kind of, like, wanting to get into Magic, and we told him about Anti-League, and so he's going to buy some packs. Now he's coming. Oh, no.
Another one's in.
It's, dude, we're, like, Anti-League sucks people in because it's so open.
It's cheap, though. You know what it is? Listen to this. When we played Anti-League, everyone was so excited because it costs... $10. No.
Yeah. $12.
Whatever.
You don't have
right.
To worry about people being like, you know, this is one thing where like, you know, I've had other friends be like, well, yeah, man, that'd be kind of cool to play. But I mean, you guys are like really good. I mean, obviously, I'm not really good compared to you guys or pro or anything like that. But I am better than like somebody that's just starting out, obviously. And he's like, oh, I don't want to come fucking play and just, you know, have
random. That's you know. I had the exact same experience, and I told everyone. I said, look,
it's so random.
I said, dude, we're all going to start with three packs. It doesn't matter how good you are. You might open bad. Like, but you know what the funny thing is in our Anti-League game is? Someone opened Vraska. Okay? Uh-huh. And that card is insane. That card is very good in Anti-League. So we would play two cards face down, randomly put there.
Right.
So when you're playing and you haven't seen Vraska yet, you're like, oh, man, I hope it's not my – I didn't Anti it, did I?
I didn't hit that. You're fucking panicking.
Oh yeah, dude, and it was insane. Like we literally
play the best that you possibly can. When your fucking cards are face down, you are playing because you know. Unless you have just terrible shit in your deck, like if there's anything good in your deck, you are playing your ass off because you're pretty sure that thing. And it's happened to me before too, though. I've seen Giralf's Messenger come up in my hand. I'm like, well, I can't play that, but I am breathing way easier now. So. but yeah, it makes you play your ass off to like make sure you don't lose, like play your best so you don't lose what might be under there. And then you flip it over and you're just like, oh, I totally could have thrown that game because those are garbage. The biggest thing I've learned about Anti-League is the worst shit to lose, your land, man. Like
really? Oh yeah, I guess so, yeah.
Shit to lose is your land because you're playing five color decks that are hard enough to get to go anyway. The worst thing that you can fucking lose is land, and I've done plenty of that. And then this is where things this is where shit gets funny because, okay, I mean, you can draw dicks on anything and it's funny, but you know, when you start playing a lot, then you're like, oh, okay, well, there's certain cards that just, like, a dick doesn't really fit unless it's just a big dick on the front, which sucks. It's way more fun when you can actually work it into the fucking...
Of course, the art.
I've got, like, a fucking one of... I don't remember who actually has it now out of our group, but I lost a... was it Amass the Components? Which yeah. is fucking, you know,
draw card, yeah.
This chick is just like running with, or this dude or chick is running like with an arm full of like jars, but then it turned into like an arm full of these dicks. It's like running, and there's like dicks falling out of her arms. It's like, you know, and then there's another, Thatcher's Revolt. I lost
it. Oh, Thatcher's Revolt.
Fucking Josh. And when you look at the art of the card, I actually have this posted on my fucking Twitter. That you've got like there's three fucking like farmers like running and like getting all pissed with weapons, but like the dude in the background is kind of more standing there, and so he's holding a giant dick, and the two people in front of him
are running away from it.
Let's all run, he's got a dick. Like you can draw dicks on anything and make it funny. But we started getting further into it and fucking with shit. So, the new thing in our circle in Anti-League is to fuck over your opponent, because we usually end up playing, like, Booze Cube and then Anti-League. Or we just start drinking and playing Anti-League. So everybody's, you know, a little bit tipsy. And, like, for instance, I lost a Plains to Daniel. And so I took a green, this, like, green highlighter, and I completely colored the whole fucking thing in. And then I took a black Sharpie and I turned the
what an ass.
Like I turned the sun into the tree. And then I left because, you know, I was trying to be somewhat nice. I left the word plains at the top, but the entire land is fucking green, and there's a tree in the middle of it, and then across just the landscape and the art, I was just all, not a forest, like kind of wispy across the thing. I don't know how many times that guy has fucking slammed that thing down thinking he has green land. And then realizes it's a plains. Like,
oh, that's so good.
And then, so to pay me back, what he started doing, which is a fucked up move, by the way, if you start playing Anti-League, don't do this. We've decided this is not allowed anymore.
Okay, what is it?
Which is the converted, like, or the colorless mana cost. He just filled it in. Like, you remember those old Scantron tests you do in school where you
fill it in? That's hilarious.
Fills it in black. So literally, when it's in my hand, I have to pull
I don't know.
And I have to look up the card so I know what the fucking casting cost is. Because he's just like, fuck you.
Oh, that's so good, dude.
So there's so many fun things you can do in Anti-League to fuck with each other back and forth. And it's been a fucking blast. And it's got, like, more of my friends into Magic than you could possibly imagine.
Yeah, you know what's funny? Like, Anti-League is one of those games where, you know, you ask people, like, well, what's the first step in paper Magic or in you know, MTGO? And I'm like, well, maybe the first step in paper is not Standard or FNM, it's freaking Anti-League. Because it's loose on rules, it's dirt cheap to play, it is a blast. I mean, it is one of the funnest things.
And it's so, like, it teaches you what, the, like, and, you know, to take
that. You
step,
learn a few things.
It teaches you, like, I mean, okay, obviously, you have to have a basic knowledge of how to play Magic. You're very basic.
Yes.
Like, tapping lands, you know, whatever. And how the cards work with each other. But, like, other than that, like, that's all you need to play Anti-League. It's fun. Like, it brings a more, like, casual, fun, social. Like, if your group of friends is more prude and you're not the type that draws dicks on shit, you can still draw, you know, you can add to the art, sign it, and hand the fucking card over. But it brings just a whole chaotic element to it. You know, if you want to draw dicks on everything, you can. But then, like, it's literally, like, it's not overpowered. It's not like you're like, all, oh, goody, we're playing against my friend's fucking ridiculous deck again that is going to just destroy us.
Destroy us, exactly, right?
It's terrible. Like, everything is completely out in the open. Like, not only are the decks completely fair, well, I'm not necessarily fair, you know, somebody might draw better than you, but then again, they might not ever see their good fucking cards. Like, I didn't mean draw.
Oh, that's so good. Yeah, like, one guy's RK post, right?
I meant they might get better draws than you.
Wait, I gotta interrupt. So if I ever play against RK post...
Oh, dude, I tweeted that. I was like, I need you in my Anti-League.
Yes. Because I would just want to lose to him so he'd just draw wicked dicks all over my stuff. Because his art looks so good.
I would Anti my whole fucking deck to him.
Yeah, you win.
And then just be like, dude, I'm going to need you to spend a good couple hours drawing on every one of those cards. And then I'd have them all matted and framed.
Yeah, don't even play. I'm retiring the deck. RK Post just got it.
Which actually is, you know, you do two cards a fucking, like, per game. But that's another thing that Jay brought up on the last A-team that we've been kind of trying out, too. If you got any of you listeners out there have been playing Anti-League, we've been kind of trying out is a rule that you can... you can mulligan for free. Like, you go back to the same amount of
art. That's what we did too. Yep.
Well, no. Like, we play, you know, like straight normal fucking mulligan rules. You know, if you don't like your opening seven, you mull to six. But one of the rules that Jay said you can experiment with, you don't want to fucking overdo it because, I mean, you can have somebody be an asshole. Like, if you're playing against people you don't know or something, like, you can have somebody be an asshole and mull to, like, the perfect fucking hand and just win. But what it is, like, you can, if you want to, like, you have your opening seven and you don't want to mull to six, you can Anti another card. And then mull back to seven again. Like, in exchange for dropping a card in your hand that you're drawing, you Anti another card in. So, okay, you both have two in, and you're like, oh, man, I've already mulled down to, like, say, you know, you've already mulled down to four, and this sucks, and you really don't want to mull down to three. Fuck it. You Anti another card, so you mull to four again, instead of down to three. And it's one of those things, you know, Jay brought up a good point. He's like, you can have somebody just keep doing that until they get the perfect fucking hand and then kill you and take all your fucking cards. But it's something like in a casual fucking setting, which is what fucking Anti-League is, you can do that. You know, it's worked out pretty well for us. You know, it's like, oh man, I don't really feel like dropping down one more card because I've already mulled fucking three times and I still have no playable shit in my first three fucking turns. I'm going to mull again, but I don't want to drop another card, so I'm going to anti another card in. So now I've antied three cards instead of two and draw that way. So.
Yeah, no, I agree. I agree. Sounds like a plan. So that's been
our stint on Anti-League.
Yeah, I mean, you know, 2 hours in, we lost Nina again, unfortunately.
Nina's been gone for half an hour. She didn't have to listen to any Anti-League bullshit.
I told her, like, why don't you just split the damn episode? You know, you're the only person that would get, like, two episodes every week, because you'd listen to half for part one, part two. It'd be awesome.
Yeah, maybe we should start doing that. We should just break an hour in, and then I'll do the second intro, and then we'll just release two casts a week. And if you're one of those people, we'll put all the relevant shit in the first half. if you want to hear us ramble about shit, like listening to us talk that much, then you can listen to the second half too.
So we'll have heavy meta, and then we'll have ramble on.
Yeah.
There you go. Heavy metal rambles on. So anyways, I guess that's episode 10.
Man, fuck, dude, we're at 10?
I know, we hit double digits. It's crazy. It's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
So we will move to the episode soon. Well, yeah, next. So, everyone wants to know, they're like, what's going on with the Derf thing? So before we close this episode, I'll say, we are at Heavy Meta headquarters right now. We have the entire Heavy Meta staff, including the president, including all the chairmen of the boards. There's about 60 or 70 of us here. We are all drinking and we are all taking notes. There are certain leaderboards. We won't go into too much detail.
We're not going to disclose too much.
No, not yet. That's right. We're not allowed. Our lawyers are looking at us right now and they're like, do not say anything. But all we're going to say is you got another week, so go crazy. So listeners, just keep tweeting. And like I said, the people that get more people in, that's what you want to be doing right now, right? Like, we're all about growth. Yeah. In the game, growing the cast, spreading the heavy metal word. There are disciples and shaky.
the special victims unit. Like, yeah, that's the official hashtag, by the way. Heavy meta SVU.
SVU. I'm gonna work on that logo. So so just keep doing what you're doing, guys. We are noticing. Yeah, we are, and we're trying to respond. We're trying to get everything. There is a lot of people hitting us, though. Our followers are going up, and it's harder to get everyone. So if you don't hear back, please.
Speaking of that, real quick, I'm at 180 followers right now. Like, I need to be at 200 by the new year. Like,
well, there you go. So heavy meta, guys. Yeah. There you go. It's a race.
And don't get your retarded cousin or a bunch of bots to follow me. I want actual fucking, like, you know,
magic followers.
Like, magic players to fucking follow me. Even if they're shitty ones. Even if they're awful people. Like, fucking Patrick Chapin. Like, I just need followers that actually play Magic.
Okay, so good thing you said it. So I promised I would follow up, because I know last episode that I said I got SCG. So I've been reading SCG this week. So here's my very quick 2-minute update on Is Star City Games Worth It? I read the financial articles, and the financial articles were complete bullshit. Every single thing in there was a sell job on a card. I'm telling you right now, every single financial point in all the articles in every Star City Games thing I read on premium was something that I've seen in my Twitter feed. Okay, so it's right now, for all those people that told me financial advice drops first on SCG, you're liars. You're all fucking liars. no, because a lot of people came out. Yeah, they came out and defended it. You're liars. You're bullshit fucking liars. Every single thing I saw on Twitter first. And I'm not talking Twitter 2 seconds before I read the article. I'm talking on Twitter a day or two.
Yeah, this shit that's already been talked about, that basically the writers took what was going on Twitter and they're like, well, fuck, I guess that's what I'll write my column about tonight.
Exactly. Now, here are some other sources. Legit MTG. It's not that we're trying to promote other sites, but we
love Medina.
No, but we want to give, like, we do, but we want to give respect. Like, you know, when he does put his financial stuff, it's actually very interesting. So, you know, and the one thing is that I love about Medina, if you ever ask him on Twitter, Medina, I want a tip. Maybe it's just me. He responds to me now.
No, but I saw that. He's just all, hey, check this out. Here, yeah. This, and that.
Yeah, and he didn't, you know, I don't know, maybe he's a lot cooler than he used to be, because normally he would tell me to fuck off, but now he actually gives me tips.
He secretly likes this. Like,
I think so. I think he does.
Back when that grave crawler shit happened, like when I ordered those grave crawlers from him, and Medina was just like, I didn't know you were from the desert in California. I used to live in fucking Victorville, which is like an hour away. Now, I was like, how the fuck did you know that? He's like, oh, you were talking about on the episode, like, you know, foils curling. You're a listener.
can I tell you something? Okay, so you know what he did. Right, he was like, those heavy metal motherfuckers, and you know he took those grave crawlers and rubbed his dick all over them, and then he and then he sent them to you, and then he chatted you, and he's like, oh, whoa, you're a nice guy. Oh, man, I better not say anything. So he feels sorry for us that he did that to us. Because I know he acts all high and mighty, but I know he'd take you out with a crossbow if he had to. But anyway.
I have to give Medina his credit. I love that guy. I've actually started more and more lately, and I used to fucking hate that guy, but I like him now. He's cool.
He's awesome. So
you guys are allowed to like him.
Now, hold on. Let me get back to SCG, because I want to keep this straight, because I do want to follow this. So as far as standard articles, like metagame stuff, it's interesting to read Brian Kibler's point of view. It's interesting to read Chapin's point of view. It's interesting to read, you know, certain, you know, even Jerry T., It's interesting. Are they dropping, like, groundbreaking in knowledge that is nowhere? No, they're not. I'm sorry. Like, I know a lot of people told me, like, if you read Jerry T's article, oh my god, you're gonna be ahead of the metagame. I did. He didn't say anything that I didn't know. And I'm not an amazing player. Like, I'm an average player who just reads a lot. So,
right.
You know, I didn't see anything. So, big fucking deal. Did Kibler stuff, was it interesting? Yeah, like, it was kind of interesting. Was it worth the money? No, it wasn't. It was a point of view. Do you want to get a point of view? Go to ManaDrive. Go to Legit MTG. Go to fucking Pure MTGO. Go to all the free sites. I guarantee you, if you hit five of the free websites versus SCG, you'll get rough about the same way. You know, you'll get roughly the same amount of content in terms of the knowledge that was dropped there. So, in terms of that, I didn't see anything interesting as far as their video content. The Magic Show is the only video content SCG produces that I like.
Right.
I personally can't stand Above the Curve. I think it's just, it's fucking dumb. I know Kevy hasn't seen it, but imagine like sports done by cable community grade 10s. And that's what you're looking at. And it's just bad. Like, I like Brad Nelson. I think he's really funny, but I don't
see,
like,
that's what, actually, I've seen a little bit of this shit. Like some of the video content stuff they've done, and it just cracks me up. Like, Maddie, if you and I lived anywhere near each other,
oh, we'd so do video.
It, like, I mean, we could do this shit like in our sleep. And not to sound like an asshole, like, oh, I could totally do that, but then not do it. Like,
we could, no doubt,
we could do it. And I have a feeling like something like that might happen to have to happen for Vegas, because we will be in the same place at the same time, and we have to deliver. Like, we can't sit there and talk shit about like how
I don't know what
other people aren't doing it right, and we could do it way better. But we have an excuse not to. No, I have a feeling in Vegas we're going to have to do our own video show.
Well, I'm just saying this. So much has been hyped about this video thing. I don't know if it's going to happen, dude. Like, we have to get drunk. We have to get smashed.
Worst case scenario, I'm going to be running around with a video camera with no clothes on and screaming at everybody. Which, I mean, still is going to be entertaining.
that actually is more entertaining than Above the Curve. So that's interesting. I think, you know, like, it's weird. For the premium content, like, I'll wrap up quickly on it. So the premium content that I've read this week, I don't think it was worth money. I don't think it was worth money. That's right. What I will say. I think it was if it was free, I would check it out weekly. Yes, I would do that. Would I pay for it? Not a fucking chance. You know, I'm sorry. It just, maybe next week will be different. Maybe this was an off week. Right. And I'm hoping, like, as Gatecrash, like, what I'm hoping is when Gatecrash comes, they'll drop a tip or two in finance, or they'll drop a metagame call, and then I can come back and say, hey guys, they were all a week before. Yeah. But
I appreciate you being like objective about it. You're not just like, well, we didn't like this in the first place, so we're just not going to like it. Like, you're trying to be objective about it, but when something, you know.
People say to me, well, do you hate SCG? I'm like, I don't hate SCG. I don't like their business practices. Do I think, like, SCG, is their coverage good? No. Do I think their on-screen graphics are good? Yes. I think their on on-screen graphics and their camera work and their cutaways, I think Magic should be doing that. I think that, you know, Rashard Miller, you should be copying what they're doing in terms of their on-screen graphic package for their coverage. I think that's very well done, and you should be doing that. Do I like how they do everything and the hosts they choose to do coverage? No, I hate them. I think most of their hosts are bad. So, you know, I'm sorry, guys. Do I like everything they do? No. Do I think some of the things they're doing are okay? Well, the things they do, I will tell you, and I'll tell you if they're good or not. But, you know, obviously Evan Irwin, if you take Evan Irwin out of SCG, I don't think I would care about SCG at all, personally. I just like him, man. I like Evan Irwin. I think he's awesome.
He's excited.
Yeah, but
he's excited about. I'm Evan Irwin excited about Modern. Like that dude is just excited about shit.
But you know what's funny? People say the same thing about us. They're like, "Oh, you guys are just excited about everything. Why are you so happy?" It's because we're having
we're fun. Drunk and things.
Yeah, maybe we're drunken assholes.
Yeah, there's that too. I had to cut in there about the back to the video thing, and I don't know if like. I've caught a little bit of this. I don't know if it's like SCG content or maybe I'm way off base here. But as far as video content, the one thing that I do like, fucking Ruben Bresler.
Okay, yeah. I totally didn't say that. Yeah. The news ending is funny as shit.
Yes.
Ruben is awesome.
Ruben Bresler is fucking awesome. I love that guy.
Sorry. So there's two things. Evan Irwin and Ruben Bresler are awesome. And if you can bring Brad Nelson with them, then everyone else can just fuck off.
Everybody else can suck it.
Well, they're not that. I'm just like, they're just like older pros that like have an attitude, and there's like this SCG kind of chip on their shoulder. Like, that's what I see, and I'm like, I'm not really interested in that. Anyways.
We're SCG, bro. What? Like, fuck off. Like,
hey, man, I'm team Block, dude. Like, what are you going to do, man? Total shit, man. I'm deprived. Like, fuck off, man. You Canadian fuckers. Like, what do you think we are, man? We're the biggest site in the internet.
We're awesome, bro.
And they're not even in California. They're fucking Northern Sea Council. We're making them like servers. Hey, dude. Anyway, so we're moving to shoutouts.
Somehow.
we got to move to shoutouts because we're over the 2-hour mark. So
we have some serious editing to do.
Maybe not. I will give my shoutouts first. So I will shout out my poor friend who got shit on for opening his Christmas present early.
Basically, your anonymous friend.
I can't say his name because he listens to this cast. He's going to know. His shame is deep, knee deep already.
Posted on the internet.
I do want to find the Twitter pic I have of the cards because that's going to go on somebody's gravestone. But I would shout out the holiday times have been awesome. Games have been good. I just want to shout out everybody who's had a positive attitude in the break and enjoying the game. You fans are awesome, man. Just keep it up, man. That's all I can say.
That's it?
Yeah, I'm keeping it short, you know, because I used up like 9 or 10 shout outs in the last 2 episodes. So
no shit. Man, you overdo
that. I know I did. I went.
No, and I'm the one that always fucking like forgets everybody. Like everybody, I'm like, oh man, I need to shout that guy out on the next episode. And then I completely forget because we start talking about shit and it just leaves my brain. All right, shout outs. Fucking, I got to shout out fucking Real Evil Genius on Twitter, Jason Clark, because that dude was fucking me up earlier with like it was just random fucking. I was just all, hey, I need help with Valaka in Modern. He's just like, play these cards. I'm like, oh. That's a good idea. I'm like, thanks, man. He's like, right on, no problem. He's just like, tell Maddie to fuck off.
Yeah, I know. Bastard, eh?
But yeah, huge shout out to fucking Real Evil Genius, Jason Clark, because he told me to play Blood Moon in my sideboard, and I'm going to. Desperate Raving is another one on Twitter.
Oh, yeah, Desperate Raving. He's hilarious.
He's always tweeting us up with shit. He's always fucking got questions. He's got, like, had a bunch of different questions and shit. Sorry we didn't get to some of them, but I love that guy. I think he's from, like, Phoenix or something like that. He's always posting about the Cardinals, which, I mean, fuck football. Yeah. But, you know, that's fine. Like, you know, to each their own. Yeah. That's great. Let's see. Who else is there?
Trev again on.
Oh, we got to give Trev again love because that dude's been hitting us up a lot lately. Of course, Chris Chaos.
And you know who we got to give a shout out to? Yeah. Angelo Palucci.
Oh, yes! Dude, I fucking love it.
Every time I see shit
avatar.
Yeah.
I actually had to, I clicked on his Twitter avatar and made it like big, like full screen so I could look at it, like to look at what he looked like. Cause every time I see it, he just looks like this random ass dude that's gonna fucking knock you out in a bar.
Doesn't he? That's what he looks like, eh?
Every time I see this little, and then when I opened up the picture and I actually saw what his face looked like, you know, more than like on my phone, the little tiny, like half inch by half inch square of a Twitter avatar, like, oh, okay, now I see what you actually look like as a person. But every time I see his avatar, I'm like, that dude probably just knocks mad fools out at the bar.
Oh yeah. You know what, every time he tweets me, I'm scared, because yeah, I'm like, oh, what are they, he's yelling at me now.
I love for just being tough as shit.
I know. And then I was like, hey, I gotta go shovel snow. He's like, yeah, you fucking lazy bastard, I've been doing it for 27 hours. I'm like, yeah, I didn't say I didn't want to. I was like, yay, snow, okay. So he's giving me shit, man.
Yes, gotta give him love. Past that, you know, the guy's fucking Kraken Jacked on Twitter. Fucking
Kraken Jack, yeah.
Yeah, that's my buddy Rob. He's one of the new players locally here that he's just been fucking taking this thing by the fucking horns, and just, he's all into Magic now. I love it. It's awesome. And fucking Josh Blackwing Seraph, you fucking hit him up too. Just start following him. I want to start doing this. I want to start making these random people, like Sub Stevie, like had 6 followers and we doubled them. 12.
We're going to double you. Hey, you got 2 followers?
We're going to double
that to 4, man. But
we're only going to promise that if you have less than like 5 followers.
Well, I'm pretty sure we could do it.
So I don't want to go promising that we can double your followers if you've got already got 400.
Well, because if you have 2, me and Kevin will follow you and just take you to 4.
So actually, we should probably just do it that. Like, we guarantee you.
Yeah, we guarantee 100%.
If you ask us on Twitter, we will double your followers if you have less than
under. 2.
I gotta give love to those guys, and of course, you know, on that note, gotta give love to Daniel Coolio's 6969 on Twitter. He doesn't use Twitter very often, but Daniel, my brother-in-law, he's fucking awesome. He's always down to play Magic with me.
Nice.
And then getting past that, of course,
we gotta say Nick K, man, Knight the Soul.
Oh yeah.
That guy would shout me up with werewolves.
The other fucking like Twitter homies that I'm forgetting right now. I literally was just looking through. I was like, oh shit, I gotta remember people. And I was like, oh yeah, you and you and you. Like, not to diminish your shout outs, but I was just like, oh, I have to remember people. But I haven't heard anything from Nick K in like the last hour. So
no, there you go. And Tommy Moles, man, he was asking me too about shit.
So. T Moles, gotta love him too. Good shit.
Apparently he says that there's some shit that should sponsor us. The booty bag. You see that?
Bag.
I
thought I got it, and then I didn't, and then I thought I got it again, and then I realized I was drinking a lot when I got that tweet, and so I just gave up on it. I was like, I don't really know what's going on here.
Can you sing like booties or something? Like, I don't
know. Like some booty warmer thing that needs to fucking sponsor us. But like, that was the thing. It's like, I didn't, like, I was like, I can see how this is funny, but I don't quite get it yet because I am so drunk that I shouldn't be reading right now.
Ah, that's gold. Of course,
Mad Love Walls, he's good shit. And then, one more to fucking Scotty Mac, because, we've been talking, I'm gonna be jumping on fucking, since I'm all into Modern now, and I've got this huge boner for, like, I went out, fucking spent a bunch of money on Moto, bought a Modern deck, and that's all I seem to want to play now, like, randomly this week. And now I'm looking at buying the fucking deck and paper, just because I love it that much.
That would be awesome. Are you gonna go on a stream and do some battles?
I mentioned it. I was like, hey man, I'm getting into Modern. I bought this deck and I've been playing with it. Let's see where it goes. And he's all, it could go onto my stream in January. And I was like,
that's a
good idea. And then we've been talking about it. Like, I actually, was it yesterday? I think he said something about, like, he's just like, yeah, dude, fucking let's do it. I'm down to game. I was like, or tomorrow. And I was like, oh fuck. I was like, I have like 2 podcasts and dinner plan tomorrow, like the worst day possible, which is today. But he's like, oh yeah, fuck, I forgot, I have to cast too. So he's got to record A team tonight, but then like we're gonna be fucking doing some Modern fucking matches this weekend, and then nice. Jump on his stream and do that shit too. So
shout out to Scotty for that, then. That'll be awesome.
mad love to Scotty for, like, letting me come fucking just desecrate his fucking stream.
Oh, my.
And my prayers go out to you if that Jundek doesn't make it through this retarded fucking burn thing.
Oh, no.
For fuck's sake, Scotty, if you lose to me...
You will never live it down.
Never, ever living it down. Like, can you imagine? You might as well cancel your trip to Vegas.
Yeah, you have to. You can't go.
A whole fucking weekend jumping up and down, pointing at you. I beat you. And, you know, it'll come down to just, like, him having bad draws or something, because Scotty's a way better player than I am. But
Scotty, put your
balls on the line, letting an idiot like me with a fucking burn deck come play against you on your stream. Because if you lose, nobody's going to take you seriously anymore.
Scotty, you better be ley line of sanity.
Yeah,
your deck is dead.
Yeah, ley line, just end it all. And Medina, I know you're secretly listening to this. You might want to shut down this whole operation before it happens, just in case, because the last thing you want attached to your company is like heavy metal beat Scotty Mack. Never mind. We're just gonna close up shop.
Oh my god! All right, we are out of here, people.
Out of here.
Episode 10. Oh man.
So 10. Go fuck yourself, San Diego.
Yes, my own beard. Fuck it.
Odin. Is that how it goes? My own
great Odin's raven.
Oh, damn it. That was it. it was great Odin's beard or something like that. I've been practicing my lines.
Oh my god, that fucking YouTube video you sent me.
Oh my god. Was that not the best?
Oh my god.
The outtakes?
I've seen like fucking 90% of those, but them being all in the same place at the same time was fucking amazing, because Will Ferrell is probably the greatest actor that has ever graced the earth.
Like, just watching him do improv lines is just cool.
And that's how, you know, that's how they have to do like most of his movies. Like, they're just all, you know what, fuck, here's the basic premise of the movie. Like, you and this guy are stepbrothers. Go.
Oh, yeah. That's the whole script, right?
Like, and they just sit there and do their fucking thing. Like, just the shit that comes out of his mouth is fucking hilarious.
I love that when he was the Bobby and he's just doing all the sponsored garbage.